of western Pennsylvania and areas towards Pittsburgh.
It's heavy, wet snow and is expected to cause power outages along the coast. No snow, but lots of rain is expected to cause flooding and a nightmare commute. George Zimmerman is out of jail. He made his bond and was released about midnight. NBC's Jay Gray is in Sanford, Florida this morning and says no one knows where Zimmerman went.
There's been a lot of speculation about where he may go and what may happen. He will be in hiding, basically.
The price of gas has fallen for the first time in 4 months. The Lundberg survey says it dropped 5 cents a gallon. This is NBC News Radio. Arizona's immigration law goes before the Supreme Court this week. NBC News Justice correspondent Pete Williams says other states are paying attention as well.
Arizona has already inspired Alabama and half a dozen other states to pass tough laws of their own. Now the justices will decide just how far the states can go.
Also in court this morning, John Edwards. His trial on charges he misused campaign funds to hide his pregnant mistress is scheduled to begin in North Carolina. The European Union has suspended sanctions against Myanmar, but says it will retain an embargo on arms sales. A long-term snapshot of how Social Security and Medicare finances are doing is to be released today. Trustees will issue their annual financial reports. And the Hunger Games got knocked off the top spot this weekend. Two date night movies, Think Like a Man and The Lucky One, finished 1 and 2. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
State Farm, this is Jessica.
Hello, Jessica. Jerry Newman calling. How much could I save by combining auto and home policies?
Well, you could save over $750, but remember you dropped us?
Bummer, because I just combined my auto and home.
Jerry, did you miss the garage again?
The garage door and the front door look so similar.
Save an average of $750 when you bundle your auto and home policies with State Farm. Get to a better state. Call 1-800-STATE-FARM today. Average household savings based on 2010 National Survey of New Policyholders reported savings by switching to State Farm.
Hi, Rick.
Hey, Phil. I need a new putter.
Well, sure. They're on sale.
Yeah, I know. I read your email newsletter.
So how you hitting them?
Shot a 79 yesterday.
Oh, fabulous. You must be reading my newsletter tips.
79 over par.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you want to look at some drivers, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Email marketing from Constant Contact helps you create professional newsletters that really drive business. It's easy, and plans are as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial. ConstantContact.com.
Several weeks of disappointing economic data have raised fresh doubts about the strength of the recovery. But a respected group of economists and business leaders is throwing some cold water on those fears. A National Association for Business Economic Survey finds about 4 in 10 companies, the most since last July, say they expect employment to pick up in the next 6 months. Almost two-thirds of the panelists forecast the U.S. economy would grow between 2.1 and 3% this year. Without much in the way of economic news today to drive markets, traders are again looking at Europe and are worried that a socialist candidate taking the top spot in first-round presidential elections may mean France will abandon end of the move to austerity. S&P futures are down 14 points, NASDAQ down 25, Dow futures are sinking 125 points. Stocks to watch, those reporting earnings this morning, including ConocoPhillips, Hasbro, Exxon, and or Xerox, that is, and homebuilder D.R. Horton. Now, this kicks off a busy earnings reporting week with Apple and Dow stocks like ExxonMobil, Chevron, and AT&T, and Boeing reporting later this week. I'm Steve Potus, MarketWatch.com.
It's time to move toward a different kind of communications company. We're CenturyLink, and we're committed to help with reliable technology, personal service, and 24/7 tech support for your home and 24/7 network reliability monitoring for your business. And we'll continue to free you from hassles with real choice and flexibility and a price lock guarantee. Focus on what matters to you and get the most from your technology. Find out more about our honest and fair communication solutions at CenturyLink.com. CenturyLink, your link to what's next.
There's no guarantee your new proposal will be approved by your biggest client. No guarantee your son will win his lacrosse tournament. We live in a world where guarantees are few and far between. But when you invest in municipal bonds insured by Assured Guarantee, every dime of principal and interest is guaranteed. Savvy investors rely on Assured Guarantee's financial strength and municipal credit experience. For insured municipal bonds, talk to your financial advisor or visit thinkassuredguarantee.com.
At Quicken Loans, we close many of our home loans in 30 days or less. But if you work with someone other than Quicken Loans, you might be dealing with a lender that takes a lot longer. Here's an analogy. I ordered a pizza 4 hours ago that should have arrived in 30 minutes or less. Think of my cold, unappetizing pizza as a mortgage from a lender that doesn't care about closing loans quickly.
Here's your pizza, dude.
You should have been here a lot sooner.
Who do you think I am? Quicken Loans?
The choice is clear. A mortgage from a lender that takes forever to close your loan, or a piping hot mortgage from Quicken Loans that arrives fresh at your door in as quick as 30 days or less. One more way, Quicken Loans is engineered to amaze. The rate today on a 30-year fixed mortgage is an incredible 3.99%. APR 4.22%. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Never let it be said that when good men and women were challenged, that they didn't rise to the challenges that were presented. And that when met with resistance, they knew enough to come together. In solidarity and with purpose and pride, they forged their way to a new understanding of what success would require. They not only met the challenge, they redefined community. And that community was called First Shift with Tony Trujillo.
And good morning, everybody. A pleasure to be with you. 6 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Monday, the 23rd day of April, 2012. Just a week away from May. I focus a lot on time, and I live in time. Time is such an integral part of what I do every day. I mean, I'm accountable. Time, you know, time is one of those things that I just am accountable to. And I'm astounded by how quickly this year is going by already. I mean, it just is blowing my mind. Good morning. A blessing to you on this Monday morning. I know for a lot of people, Mondays are those grumpy, grumbly, here we go again kind of day. I had a great weekend. I had an amazing weekend. So it was good. Some of it was social. Actually, all of it was social. Some of it required what some of you might consider work. I gave a speech yesterday morning. And I'll talk about that here in just a few minutes. But the last thing it was work, I assure you. I had a great time at the Burton Manor in Livonia. Just had a great time. Then just had a good weekend. My sister-in-law got married on Saturday to a great guy. And so they're off on their honeymoon. My mother and father-in-law stayed with us over the weekend, which was nice. And I mean that. I'm not saying that just to say it. They're great people. My father-in-law's got a ton of personality. You would all enjoy him a great deal. Big sports fan, so as long as he's got a remote control in his hand, he's fine. He's absolutely fine. Anyway, I had a great weekend. I'm hoping that you all had a great weekend as well. You know, with every passing day, we get closer to a lot of things. We're a week away from, less than a week away from the Jefferson-Jackson Day dinner next Saturday at Cobo, and we'll be talking to Mark Brewer about that in just a little bit. A lot going on next weekend, in fact. If you're a Democrat, it's going to be a busy weekend. We're just 2 weeks away from the May 5th caucus. Also, Michigan Rising's tip-off to the next round to recall Governor Snyder. So there's a lot going on. Let's take a look at what we've got going on today, though. We have an important show lined up for you. Tom Bowes will be joining us. I read a story in Bridge Magazine last week that really caught my eye. It's been this way for a very long time. There's an apprenticeship program in the electrical industry. The International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers kind of spearhead this kind of stuff. And if you're an apprentice, there's a one-to-one ratio with working with a licensed electrician, which is an amazing opportunity for somebody that's learning this critically important field. Well, lawmakers, Republican lawmakers in Michigan would like to change that. They'd like to change that ratio. Is that dangerous? We're going to get to that at 7 o'clock. At 7:35, Chad Sulweski will be joining us. He is a journalist with the Macomb Daily, talking about the personal property tax. We haven't spent a lot of time, certainly I've mentioned it many times, we haven't spent a lot of time talking about the dangers of eliminating the PPT and what it means to you. Occupy Detroit will occupy first shift at 7:50. Again, Mark Brewer with us just after 8 o'clock, and the triumphant return of Christine Berry in her blog roles segment, as she has had to be off for a variety of reasons, and we'll talk to her about that as we work our way through the morning this morning. With all that said, let's get this thing going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Oversight as our first word. Many things need oversight. Some things do. Some things need more, actually. Some less oversight. But most things need oversight at some point. And then, then you need checks and balances. At least I would think that's what you do. Well, I would think that's what you do unless you are a self-righteous conservative Republican here in the state of Michigan or in the country. Because there's this idea that we need less government control unless, of course, you're a Republican or a conservative Republican, and all of a sudden you feel like we need more government control. But that's, of course, all focusing on your own personal agenda. Oversight. It's one of those, necessary, and I'm not going to say evils because I don't believe it's an evil, but it's one of those necessary pieces to the puzzle that sometimes can be problematic, depending on your point of view. It can often be a roadblock, and that's not always a good thing. Listen, we've all been in situations where, because of oversight, what we were hoping was going to be a quick path from point A to point B ended up with some road bumps along the way. Is that necessarily, though, a bad thing? I don't think it is. Is it necessarily a good thing? Well, again, there's where the debate happens. But we need to pay attention. We need to be sure that we're not taking our eye off the ball ever. If there's anything the last 16 months or so have proved to us, checks and balances are critical. Oversight is one way to ensure that. Or is it? Is it? Is the question. Because even with oversight, when you have one party that controls everything, those who tend to make the rules tend to make them reflect the way they want it to be, or those that bought them want it to be. And with that said, that is oversight is today's first word. And Jeff's not feeling too well today, so I will be gentle with him. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm all right.
No, you're not. No, you're not all right. I appreciate you making a yeoman's effort to come into work today. I don't know why. You should have called and had somebody come in for you.
Like who?
I have no idea, but they do have a staff here, and they do understand that there will be, they as Clear Channel, from time to time, that you will need to not be here. I mean, there was a time a few months back that you had to go work at the other station and they found somebody to work for you. So,
but I was still here to set everything up and had everything going. So
Anthony can do that.
All right.
All I'm saying is, we're talking about a day. It's not like you were going to be taking 6 weeks off without notice. I'm just saying you're not feeling well. Whatever, Then I see how you are. You're going to be one of them. That's all right. When did you get sick?
This weekend.
I realized that. Was it Saturday? Because I know you had that wedding on Saturday. Did you wake up yesterday sick? Because sometimes that happens and it sucks.
Yeah, it's been slowly coming on.
All right. Would you rather I just left you alone the rest of the morning?
It's just hard to talk while my nose is running and everything.
Okay, then I'll leave you alone. That's fine. There's really not a whole lot going on in the world of sports, by the way. Tigers lost yesterday. Controversial call at the end of the game. Big deal. It's all about offense as far as I'm concerned. They don't have any right now. Pistons won, and again, I don't care because they're ruining their own lottery pick. So shame on you for continuing to be professionals and even having a work ethic, God forbid. That's, of course, a joke. And then last but not least, Ron Artest, a dirty elbow during the Lakers game yesterday. What a jackass that man is. Meta world peace. Yeah, go figure. I'm not quite sure why people do that to themselves. I'm not. You know, maybe I should do I can't really do a poll question on this, but I should maybe, you know, just like throw it up there one day. If you were to change your name, what would you change it to? Now, you know, some of you might, of course, say, you know, I'd like to change it from Cheryl to Marcia. That's really not what I'm talking about. But, you know, there have been some people, especially in the world of athletics, that have changed their name. Most famously, I think, would be Muhammad Ali. Of course, he was at one time Cassius Clay. But, you know, Meta, World Peace, again, but whatever, to each their own. To each their own. Jeff had posted early this morning, Fox, the television station, celebrated 25 years on the air. Interestingly, speaking of my in-laws being here, my father-in-law and mother-in-law were asking me if I knew that it was their 25th, it's Fox's 25th anniversary, and I said yes, and he shared with me he's never once watched The Simpsons. Not once. Which I thought was kind of interesting. I would think by accident, after 25 years, you would have seen The Simpsons. But he says he literally hasn't even seen 5 minutes of that show in 25 years. Now, there are lots of television shows that I can honestly say I've never seen that are quite popular. Law and Order. I've never seen an episode of any of the Law and Order franchise, which I understand are excellent. And it has nothing to do with them not being good or not being something I would watch. I just never watched them. So that's just, it is what it is. So I get that sometimes that happens. In the world of reruns, I didn't start watching shows like King of Queens until it was off the air probably 3 or 4 years. Same with Everybody Loves Raymond. Never saw the show when it was on prime time, but have seen it in reruns. I mean, there's just certain things that, you know, I'm not a big TV person. So, you know, when I do watch TV, I have a tendency to watch it in non-traditional times, late afternoon, early evening, and that's it, especially with this crazy schedule I got now, which I prefer over what I had before. All right, all that being said, let's take a quick break here. We have a lot to get to in this first hour. I'll tell you all about my day yesterday, or my morning yesterday, which was just amazing, and it was kind of funny because I post my little experience on the Facebook page when I got back yesterday, and people actually decided to pick on me. Well, pick on something. They just didn't get what we were doing. Ugh. Conservatives, what are you going to do? Let's take the break. You want to join us? Feel free. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. Again, happy Monday to you. We'll take the break and be right back.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595. First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Well, we have our first incident of the morning. Let's head over to 696 westbound just after Telegraph. Got a report of an overturned vehicle in the right ditch. And you want to watch out on 275 southbound just before 94. Single lane closures until about 3:30. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 55 degrees and partly cloudy with high winds. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 37 degrees. Tomorrow is going to be 59 degrees and partly cloudy. And it's currently 40 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano,
or you want to listen to his segment again,
Visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
The 2012 Michigan Summit will celebrate and champion progressive change that is driving Michigan and will challenge all of us to make sure that all of Michigan moves forward together. Please go to themichigansummit.org right now and register to make sure you have saved yourself a seat for Saturday, May 12, 2012 at the Kellogg Center in East Lansing, Michigan. As keynote speakers George Powell and Barbara Arnwine promise to deliver messages that transcend petty politics and empower all of us to find a new path to prosperity. Together, as we reach across every sector of society to uplift and engage all of our friends and colleagues, themichigansummit.org should be your first stop in planning for a future that is all-inclusive. Please join Progress Michigan in energizing, engaging, and winning. Register at themichigansummit.org right now.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock on this early Monday morning. Yesterday, I spent a couple hours with about 450 or so members of a coalition called SOAR, and that's an acronym for Save Our Annuity Retirement. SOAR is a group that represents over 70,000 active and retired federal and postal service employees in the state of Michigan. And they had a variety of speakers there yesterday. I was honored that they had asked me to be their keynote speaker, which I enjoyed a great deal. And they had representatives from some congressional offices. A couple members of the United States Congress were there. Hanson Clark, a good friend. John Conyers, another good friend, were both there and spoke. Representatives from Congressman Sandy Levin's office was there. A spokesperson from Thaddeus McCotter's office was there. We had a moment together, a special moment together. A representative from Congressman John Dingell's office was also there, as well as others representing people in and around the postal industry and the federal retirees and state retirees as well, including Mary Palsik, who is the director for Michigan State Employees Retirement Association, and Pat Carroll, who was the national business agent with the Region 6 National Association of Letter Carriers. Our good friend Roscoe Woods, who has been a guest on this show a few times, was also there. Had a chance to chat with him briefly before the breakfast began, and was great to see him. And saw, actually, quite a few listeners to the show. So it was a really warm and wonderful morning. They had a beautiful breakfast there at the Burton Manor in Livonia. Just had a great time. And the speech was well received. I enjoyed very much being there. I want to thank listener Mike Smith, who is the acting chairman of SOAR, for being the impetus behind inviting me to speak yesterday. And certainly I was, had a chance to sit with him during breakfast, and it was wonderful just to spend a little time with the true progressive. Just had a great time and really enjoyed myself a great deal. This upcoming Saturday, By the way, I will be giving the keynote address at the American Federation of Teachers Michigan Conference in Detroit, and looking forward to speaking to teachers. You all know how I love me my teachers, so I'm looking forward to that this weekend as well. I'll also be speaking, yep, that's right, Saturday's a busy day for Tony, to the Young Democrats of Michigan. The Labor Caucus invited me to speak, and I'll be talking about that a little bit more later on in the show. And actually having somebody on from the Young Democrats later this week to talk about their fundraiser next Saturday before the Jeff Jack dinner. Again, if you've not yet got your tickets for Jeff Jack, I'm sure it's not too late, as Mark Brewer will let us know at 8 o'clock when we speak with them. But if you go to MichiganDems.com, you can get all the information you will need right there. I do want to bring up an issue that was a prominent centerpiece of yesterday's breakfast. And we've talked about this legislation on this show before in different incarnations, because the legislation that we're speaking of, which is Senate Bill 1789, has changed quite a bit. There have been some amendments that have been added to it, some that have been taken away, but there are lots of problems with it. And in its current form, it should not pass in the U.S. Senate. Should not. So we need to understand that there's going to be apparently some debate today on Senate Bill 1789, and that they may vote, the Senate may actually vote on it as soon as tomorrow. As soon as tomorrow. And there's even some talk that they're going to leave the vote open-ended, that they're not going to limit both the time to discuss or the time to vote on the actual bill. As part of the amendment process, by the way, party leaders agreed to require a supermajority of 60 votes to adopt changes to the bill, which does not bode well for those of us that see it for all the flaws that it has. Again, a final vote for Senate Bill 1789 is scheduled for tomorrow, which is April 24th, and the voting could extend into the following day or days. At this point, it looks like they're going to leave it open-ended. So very quickly, a couple things I want to make you aware of, so that when you call Senator Stabenow and Senator Levin's office today to remind them that they need to vote no on Senate Bill 1789, a couple things you want to reference. You want to know what you're talking about, right? You always do. As currently drafted, there are some problems. And, I want to urge you to, again, give them a call and tell them to vote no. Here's what you want to talk to them about. The Udall Amendment, which is 2043, but the Udall Amendment is all you really need to tell them, to strike the authorization to eliminate Saturday delivery in 2 years. We do not want to eliminate Saturday delivery. We do not want to go to 5-day-a-week mail delivery. We just don't want to do that. The Schumer Amendment to preserve door-to-door delivery for 35 to 40 million households that would be phased out under this bill as drafted, and the AKA Amendment to delete the draconian reform of the federal workers' compensation system and replace it with the NALC, which is the National Association of Letter Carriers, supported FICA reform bill that already has passed the House of Representatives. Here's the problem, as I understand it, and Daryl Issa, who is a congressman from California, seems to have and I'm going to guess if we were to do the follow the money thing again with him, we'll see that somewhere along the way, somebody from UPS or Federal Express or one of the many different alternatives to the U.S. Postal Service are providing him with campaign cash. I'm almost positive we would find that there would be a direct trail there. He wants to single-handedly eliminate the U.S. Postal Service. At least he doesn't want it to look anything like it looks today, which makes no sense. If you stop and think about how successful the U.S. Postal Service has been forever, for decades, and at some level it is a model of efficiency. Now, I understand that there are some funding challenges there, but part of the challenges was because of what Congress did. It had absolutely nothing to do with what the U.S. Postal Service did, which was way overpay into the retirement account, way overpay to the tune of billions upon billions upon billions of dollars. And as we have demonstrated on this program many, many times in the past, if they were to get those overpayments back, the financial burden that they are currently under would disappear that quickly. They've overpaid into a system. Anyway, vote no. Vote no on 1789. Call Stabenow 11. Again, I don't even assume that they would vote yes on this, but you need to make it clear. You need to make it clear that they need to vote no. All right, when we come back, we'll get to some audio as we get this Monday morning first shift program underway. Hope you're all well today. Let's take the break. Oh, by the way, feel free to join us. 888-552-3595. Something on your mind? I want to hear from you. We'll be right back.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
All right, they just cleared that accident on 696 westbound just after Telegraph Road. No reports of any slowdowns in that area. And on 94 eastbound, the off-ramp heading to Southfield Freeway is closed for bridge work through mid-June. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 55 degrees and partly cloudy with high winds. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 37 degrees. Tomorrow is going to be 59 degrees and partly cloudy. And it's currently 40 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Joining us now from Working America is Fran Brennan.
And when our organizers go into neighborhoods and knock on our neighbors' doors, most people are not being heard. They feel frustrated. They feel like they're isolated. And we're there to listen and to have them know that there is a capacity to give them a voice, to give them empowerment, and to get them re-engaged into what's going on in both their community and in their state.
On 1310 WDTW.
The Lone Ranger was a masked man who was out to bring bad guys to justice. Ed Kennard is a masked man who is out to bring bad guys to power. A multimillionaire financier who was a top henchman in Bain Capital, Mitt Romney's old outfit of corporate plunderers, Kennard is currently riding with a small but fearsome Citizens United gang, which has taken over presidential politics. Unlike the James Gang and other robbers of yore who stole from banks and railroads, these thieves are bankers and high-rolling railroaders. Thanks to the Supreme Court's edict in the infamous Citizens United case, they are now able to use unlimited amounts of their corporate wealth to create super PACs that are proving to be devastating weapons against democracy. Kennard is one of the handful of financial elites who've put $1 million or more into Romney's super PAC, enabling it to whack his opponents and take the GOP nomination with an unprecedented barrage of venomously negative advertising. Kennard is known as a masked robber because he tried to disguise his $1 million involvement by using the fake name of W. Spahn. Incredibly, that's not illegal. But it was so glaringly odd that Romney's campaign had to fess up to Kennard's real name. Speaking of names, the Romney super PAC is called Restore Our Future. Whose future does it mean? The mega donors, of course. This was candidly confessed by another member of the Citizens United gang, hedge fund hustler Ken Griffin, who says he's in Romney's super PAC because, quote, I think the ultra-wealthy actually have insufficient influence in Washington. This is Jim Hightower saying, so they're using their millions to purchase a presidency that promises to extend the unregulated tax-subsidized system that enriches them at the expense of the rest of us. It's legalized thievery by the rich. Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
First word.
First thoughts.
First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
No, I meant
Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. I meant to mention this last week in greater detail, and I didn't do it. I briefly mentioned that Mitt Romney is the first candidate, and I just find this so odd, the first candidate in the history of presidential politics to actually lose popularity while still in the primary, to be the candidate. He is the presumptive nominee for the Republicans, and he's actually lost popularity as the primary season has, and we're still technically in the primary season and will be until the convention in August. But I find it so odd that he is losing popularity. Now, listen, we could have this very different debate. We look at the poll numbers. And you've got to be very skeptical of poll numbers, by the way. Many of you have written me, especially over the last few days, and this weekend I got a handful of emails from people that said, Tony, be careful that you don't cite all of these polls that are showing that this race is close. Now, people had different reasons for writing me that, but I don't need you, and I appreciate you doing that, but I don't really need you folks to help me tweak that. Here's the deal. This far out of election, we don't really care about the polls. They're not telling us anything. What do polls do this far out of an election, especially a presidential election? What did polls do this far out? Really, they don't do much but maybe help a candidate raise some money. But beyond that, they really don't. They don't help. The people are either not paying attention to the polls this early, or they're just using it to bolster whatever their argument would be. So if it's showing that Mitt Romney's ahead, then you can, if you're a Republican, you're going to say, see, the president's in trouble, and vice versa. But that's neither here nor there. I take a look at Mitt Romney, the nominee, and I ask myself this question. Why has he become less popular as time has gone on? And we can, again, I think it's a legitimate question. It's something we should explore. I think it's a fairly easy, but again, I'll accept my bias. I think it's fairly easy to figure out why he's not done well and why he continues to lose popularity. It's clear that he doesn't resonate with people. He looks uncomfortable. I think all his flip-flopping has already started to unhinge this campaign a bit. If you were watching Rachel Maddow last week, she actually did a segment, if you saw it, that was really quite profound. And take the bias away from it for a minute. I understand we all have bias, so get over that for a minute. But let's just take a look at and explore what she said, because I believe that there's some legitimacy here. As we take a look at a Mitt Romney presidency and a campaign that has said, listen, now that we're in a general election mode, we are going to forget everything we said in the primary, and now we'll have real positions. Now we're gonna have real positions. Now, so if I said something, Mitt Romney's campaign says, if we said something, I don't know, a week ago, 5 weeks ago, 25 weeks ago, that doesn't matter, because now we're in a general election. So we're allowed, it's that Etch-a-Sketch thing that we talked about weeks ago. You know, we could just shake the Etch-a-Sketch and start over. And so that's what the Romney campaign's going to do. They're going to shake the Etch-a-Sketch and they're going to draw their new future. Is that going to work? Now, here's the danger for them, because they're not going to get hardcore Democrats. And frankly, they're not going to be able to attract most moderate Democrats. They're not. So who do they need to appeal to? They need to appeal to whatever, quote-unquote, their base is, and I don't claim to know what the Republican base is anymore. I really don't. If you stop and you kind of explore the reality of what's happened to the Republican Party since George Bush ruined it, and that's, in essence, what he did, and he is responsible for the downward spiral of the Republican Party. They can't find their ass with either hand right now. They can't. Even amongst candidates, former candidates, John Huntsman has now been excommunicated from the Republican Party because he had the audacity to call for a third party. He had the audacity to say to Republicans they wouldn't be able to successfully nominate Ronald Reagan in 2012, which is probably true. But listen, I have no use for Ronald Reagan at all. I think he was an absolute disaster for this country. Clearly, especially if you're a union person and you believe in organized labor, what Ronald Reagan did to the working class in this country, we still pay for on a daily basis. He may be credited with being the father of the modern conservative movement. He's also the bastard stepfather of ruining the middle class. So that he could be elected today or not is really irrelevant to me. He's done his damage. I could care less at this point. There is no legacy that I wish to honor as it relates to Ronald Reagan, but I'm a very liberal Democrat, so I wear that on my sleeve. That's fine. That's where I stand. So where does Mitt Romney fit in? And as I've really shared with you many times on this program, when we take a look at Mitt Romney, he really isn't anything to anybody. He's not conservative. He's certainly not moderate. Every position he's ever taken as a politician, that would be as governor, Massachusetts, he has to walk away from. His greatest accomplishment, Romney Care, he now is ashamed of. It's really interesting. So now we have to take a look at another reality. Religion has always, by the way, been a factor in presidential elections, whether we like it or not. A candidate's religion, oh, by the way, in the country of freedom to worship, right. Religion has always been an issue. Well, for Mitt Romney, it's maybe a larger issue and will become a larger issue as time marches on. Mitt Romney this weekend was asked about his grandfather growing up in a polygamous colony in Mexico. And this is what he had to say.
The Montana governor, Democrat Brian Schweitzer, suggested that your father grew up in a polygamy commune. What's your reaction to that comment?
I don't know that I have any particular reaction. My dad's dad was not a polygamist. My dad grew up in a family with a mom and a dad and a few brothers and one sister. They lived in Mexico and lived a very nice life there, from what I understand. And then when he was, I think, 5 or 6 years old, there was a revolution in Mexico. They escaped. I believe they went to El Paso first and were helped by the government to get on their feet. And then his dad went around the country, Los Angeles, I think Idaho, Utah, went broke more than once. My dad had a very tough upbringing.
Wow. Helped by the government to get on their feet. Okay, I'm fine with that, by the way. How many of you would be, I don't know, but I'm fine with it. All right, so here's the deal. Should anything matter? Listen, we all have a past. Do we need to wear the past of everybody that touches our life? I mean, we saw what happened to President Obama. He had a brother and an aunt that was deported. And, you know, everybody wants to marry every relative you've ever had to who you are as president, which is, of course, ludicrous. I wouldn't do that to a Republican. I wouldn't. You remember the Billy Carter days, right? Folks, I mean, you know, does this matter? Should it matter that Mitt Romney is a Mormon? Does that factor in, or should it factor in to our decision whether or not to elect him to the presidency? Does he need to answer questions? I mean, a lot of people have no idea what Mormonism is all about. And it is different. There's no question about it. For years, when I had my consulting firm, I worked with a family that owned a very large company in Salt Lake City, very large company. They were a Mormon family, very traditionalist Mormon family. And they had a lot of Mormons that worked for the company. I spent a lot of time there, traveled there to Salt Lake City many, many times, did seminars. And listen, Mormons are, it's a different way of life. It's a different understanding. If you've never really spent any time with Mormons in a real way, yeah, you probably, it's really kind of hard to describe it. I mean, part of me wants to say there's a naivete there, but they look at the world differently. They honor one another differently. And I'm not saying bad. I'm saying different. That's just different. From a charitable standpoint, I don't know that you're going to find more charitable people. This idea that they give part of their young lives to causes, to this missionary thing that they do, is really, you know, can really be a very beautiful thing. Some people consider that, by the way, cruel and unusual punishment. They do. So, you know, does Mitt Romney, you know, need to answer to that? That's something you decide, not something I decide. I'm just saying that's something that you decide. Before we go to the break, I do want to point out that we're still looking at the presumptive nominee for the Republican Party for the presidency of the United States that has not received critical endorsements. And again, he's now the presumptive nominee. Chances are 99.9998% he will be the Republican nominee. Why aren't the endorsements just knocking him down? Why isn't that happening? And why are some of the endorsements he's getting, many of the endorsements he's getting, quite tepid? John Boehner, the Speaker of the House last week, basically said, well, since he's the last guy standing, I guess he gets my endorsement. It was a rousing endorsement, right? All right, we'll come back. We got more to get to. We got a lot more to get to. 888-552-3595. Listen, if it's Mitt Romney's turn, because they all get a turn, right? Bob Dole got his turn. Look how that worked out. I have a feeling Mitt Romney's going to be an asterisk, as Bob Dole was an asterisk. You know, it happens. Let's take the break. We'll come back on the other side. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll be back on First Shift right here on 1310 WDTW right after this.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
This is white supremacy, and we will fight you. And before we let you take over our city, we will burn it down.
What the f*** is the matter with you?
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Attention, passionate Democrats all over Michigan.
The Michigan Democratic Party is proud to announce their annual fundraiser, the Jeff Jack Dinner.
Will be held this year on Saturday, April 28th.
And your attendance is required. They are thrilled to welcome to Michigan Robert Gibbs, senior advisor to Obama for America and a true friend of Michigan, as the former press secretary for our own Senator, Debbie Stabenow, as well as to President Obama. In addition to an amazing dinner at Cobo Center, this year marks the inaugural after party that is a can't-miss event
and is included in the price of your dinner ticket.
Whether you have attended in the past or this is your first time, the Jeff Jack Dinner is one of the most exciting events for Democrats, and it is literally a must-attend for those of us who care about the Michigan Democratic Party. Just go to MichiganDems.com/JeffJack to purchase your tickets now.
That's MichiganDems.com/JeffJack.
And reserve your spot to one of the most exciting political nights of the year. We'll look forward to seeing you there.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us,
like us,
love us.
At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Yep, welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Senator Joe Lieberman, who, for those of you that need a little history lesson, was Al Gore's vice presidential nominee. That didn't work out for him, but that's not the point of this conversation. He became an independent when it was clear that he wasn't going to be, well, that's not true. He wasn't going to be reelected. He lost in a primary, and so he decided to run as an independent and won as an independent. But he did lose the primary. Anyway, all that being said, since then he's become this really weird kind of politician. And he, I don't know if you remember, there was talk that when John McCain was the nominee, that he was going to appoint or nominate Joe Lieberman to be his vice presidential candidate. And what did he do? He made Sarah Palin a star. Oh, who do we ever need to forgive? I need to pray over that one. Anyway, Senator Joe Lieberman on who he will endorse this time around.
I'm going to try something different this year. I'm going to try to stay
out. Hasn't worked out so well the last
time. I'm going to try to stay out of this one. You know, I'm not running for re-election. I'm enjoying not being involved in the nastiness of campaigning in America these days. I think this year, when it comes to the presidential election, I'm just going to do what most Americans do. Go into the voting booth on election day and in the privacy of the booth, cast my vote. This is a very important election. One thing I will say, it seems obvious from the polling that's going on the whole year. The American people are very unsettled. They're very uneasy about the economy, about the government. They've changed their mind a lot as this has gone on. And this is going to be a very close and unpredictable presidential election right down to election day.
Well, don't know that I absolutely agree with that, but I appreciate him staying out because sometimes people really should keep their mouth shut, and this is one of those times. So, thank you, Joe Lieberman. I wasn't aware, by the way, he wasn't running for re-election. Pretty happy to hear that. All that being said, Mitch Daniels. Well, let me back up a little bit before we get to Mitch Daniels. You know, we need to, now it's going to be about issues, and it's going to be ultimately about the economy, because there's no way the Republicans can run on a foreign policy platform. The president has been picture perfect on foreign policy. Absolutely pristine. Brilliant. That was supposed to be his weak spot, right? That didn't work out too well for him. So they're not going to be able to go to foreign policy and say, oh, my God, this guy's awful. He got rid of Osama bin Laden. So it's going to be about the economy. Mitch Daniels spoke this weekend and said, yeah, listen, you know, maybe it's not the president's fault, the economy, that is, but this is what he had to say.
First of all, the president did inherit a mess, but it's not the first time that's ever happened. He's done less with that mess than anyone else ever did. Ronald Reagan inherited a bigger one and had a roaring economy already by this stage. This is the weakest recovery, at least in the post-war period, if not ever, given the depth of the recession that we were in. With regard to how we get out of it, you can start by saying we couldn't do worse than the policy mix of this president. Gigantic new spending, gigantic new taxes, takeover of 18 or 19% of the economy in the Obamacare bill. Anything would be better than that.
All right, we'll come back to that. Eric Fenstrom, who is a senior advisor to the Romney campaign, well, we'll let him speak for himself, and then I'll come back and chat about this.
Yeah, Bob, well, thank you for having me on the show. Here's a number you're going to hear a lot over the course of this campaign, 23 million. That's the number of people who are looking for work or who have become so discouraged they've stopped looking for work or who are stuck in part-time jobs when what they really want is full-time employment. We all know that President Obama didn't create this recession. But his policies are not working for that 23 million people I just told you about. Last week he was in Ohio, and he said that this election is going to come down to two competing visions. Well, that's not true. Incumbent presidents don't get to run on vision. They have records that they have to run on, and we're going to hold them accountable to that.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. So let's kind of hold that piece of audio, if we can remember to do this, and come back to it 2 months from now, and then 4 months from now. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the future of this campaign. That 23 million figure continues to get smaller every single month. But that's fine if this is where Eric Fenstrom wants to focus. I will take that challenge. Now, we'll go back to Mitch Daniels for just a moment. Just a moment. And actually, we'll go back to any Republican currently sitting in either House of Congress who was here under the 8 years of George Bush, who voted repeatedly to raise the debt ceiling, who voted repeatedly to fund war, who voted repeatedly to continue to spend money we didn't have, who voted for a tax cut at a time of war, which no sane president has ever done. Now, I'm not saying that there weren't Democrats that didn't vote for this stuff, because there were, and I would suggest many of them are no longer in Congress. But the Republicans created the economy. The Republicans created the economy that Barack Obama inherited. Now, here's the difference. Here is the difference between the Ronald Reagan recovery, the chief difference between the Ronald Reagan recovery and the Barack Obama recovery. The Ronald Reagan recovery had a Congress that would work with the president. The Ronald Reagan recovery clearly, just don't have to go back that far, so this isn't ancient history, clearly had opportunities this president has not been afforded. We can talk about why that is, and we will talk about why that is. But again, if we're going to make the comparison, we need to compare apples to apples, oranges to oranges. You know, we don't do that when we just have a headline, if you will, a headline conversation. A headline conversation is where you just look at the headline and comment on the headline. What's the meat? The real meat of this discussion is a Congress that refuses to work with the president. Now listen, they made it clear from day one, and I don't want to hear the Republican spin anymore. They made it clear from day one that their number one goal was to be sure that Barack Obama was a one-term-only president. The Republican spin on that has always been, yes, but everybody, the opposition party always says that, you know, they want the president to be a one-term president. Not true. Not true. They don't, on election night, come out and say that. We know, definitively, because we have proof, that this president, Barack Obama, was targeted by the white men in Congress that happened to be part of the Republican Party to sabotage his presidency from day one. And then they threw a couple black people in there just to make it interesting, a la Alan West, who is, by the way, certifiably insane. All right, a quick break here. We've got a very busy hour in the next hour, so you'll want to stay with us. A lot of issues, very diverse issues, as we work our way through the 7 o'clock hour. Thank you for being with us this early morning. I again want to thank the wonderful people with SOAR for inviting me out yesterday. Enjoyed speaking with them. We'll take the quick break. We'll take a look at the news at the top of the hour and traffic and weather as well. And we'll be back on First Shift. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking the commute, we got a couple of problems. First one's on 275 southbound at Ann Arbor Road. We have a large pothole in the construction zone that has caused multiple vehicles with flat tires to move over to the shoulders. And you also got an accident that has your left shoulder blocked on 96 eastbound at Milford Road. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 55 degrees and partly cloudy with high winds. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 37 degrees. Tomorrow is going to be 59 degrees and partly cloudy. And it's currently 40 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9, right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit, NBC.
NBC News Radio, I'm Richard Louie. The Northeast getting a late taste of Jack Frost today, with western Pennsylvania and western New York looking at significant snowfall. The Weather Channel's Kelly Cass.
Better than a foot in higher elevations of Pennsylvania, and unfortunately with the trees already leafing out at this point, there will be some tree damage most likely, as well as some power outages.
Meanwhile, it is summer-like in the western U.S. Stronger economic growth, that's the prediction in the latest USA Today survey of top economists, primarily because of stronger consumer spending, even in the face of high gas prices. Wall Street, coming off last week's mixed showing, Dow up, broader market down. Concern over European debt has stock futures pointing lower. And those golden years are becoming working years as more seniors stay on the job or find new ones in pursuit of a financially secure retirement. Stats show many baby boomers will be showing up for work at 70-something to make sure ends meet. This is NBC News Radio. Opening arguments today in Greensboro, North Carolina, the trial of John Edwards, the former Democratic presidential candidate accused of knowing about nearly $1 million in secret payments made to his mistress during the 2008 campaign. NBC's Lisa Myers.
The stakes for both sides here are enormous. The Justice Department has poured more than 3 years into this case. And John Edwards, well, legal experts say if he's convicted, he'll almost certainly face time in prison.
One of the greats of baseball, the Rocket, Roger Clemens, back in court in Washington, D.C. for his retrial on charges of lying to Congress about using steroids. Clemens' former trainer claims he personally injected the star pitcher with performance-enhancing drugs. And a team of U.S. scientists is setting up shop at the base of Mount Everest to study the long-term effects of extreme altitude on humans. Researchers say high altitude can have the same effect as heart disease, but so far so good. In fact, they say they feel like they're on top of the world. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Richard Louie, NBC News Radio.
State Farm, this is Jessica.
Hello, Jessica. Jerry Newman calling. How much could I save by combining auto and home policies?
Well, you could save over $750, but remember you dropped us?
Bummer, because I just combined my auto and home.
Jerry, did you miss the garage again?
The garage door and the front door look so similar.
Save an average of $750 when you bundle your auto and home policies with State Farm. Get to a better state. Call 1-800-STATE-FARM today. Average household savings based on 2010 National Survey of New Policyholders reported savings by switching to State Farm.
Can't wait to get back outside and start getting your lawn back in shape for spring? Right now, buy any Troy-Bilt or Husqvarna tractor and get a 10-cubic-foot steel dump cart for free. That's a $129 value. Plus, when you purchase a Scott Snap spreader, you'll get a Snap Pack replacement cartridge free. Come into Lowe's for these and other great values every day. Lowe's, never stop improving. Offers valid through 4/23/12. See store or Lowe's.com for complete details.
Do you remember these commercials?
When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen.
If you do, you may soon be again hearing from E.F. Hutton. The iconic Wall Street brokerage disappeared through a series of mergers and acquisitions, but a group of the old firm's former executives want to revive the name as a boutique financial advisory firm. While unusual for anyone to bring back a defunct Wall Street brand, one industry watcher tells the Wall Street Journal E.F. Hutton has a certain legacy and heritage and was not one of the firms tarnished during the financial crisis. Earnings reports this week could help decide where stocks ultimately go, including about a third of the Dow and more than a third of the S&P 500. And while the market waits for this morning's numbers, stock traders are in a mind to sell off as they worry about how the elections in France will affect Europe and how it deals with its debt crisis and how slowing factory growth in China will affect the global economy. So S&P futures are down 14 points this morning, NASDAQ down 25, and Dow futures are falling 123 points. I'm Steve Potaskin in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
It's time to move toward a different kind of communications company. We're CenturyLink, and we're committed to help with reliable technology, personal service, and 24/7 tech support for your home and 24/7 network reliability monitoring for your business. And we'll continue to free you from hassles with real choice and flexibility and a price lock guarantee. Focus on what matters to you and get the most from your technology. Find out more about our honest and fair communication solutions at CenturyLink.com. CenturyLink, your link to what's next.
There's no guarantee your new proposal will be approved by your biggest client. No guarantee your son will win his lacrosse tournament. We live in a world where guarantees are few and far between. But when you invest in municipal bonds insured by Assured Guarantee, every dime of principal and interest is guaranteed. Savvy investors rely on Assured Guarantee's financial strength and municipal credit experience. For insured municipal bonds, talk to your financial advisor or visit thinkassuredguarantee.com.
State Farm, this is Jessica.
Hello, Jessica. Jerry Newman calling. How much could I save by combining auto and home policies?
Well, you could save over $750, but remember you dropped us?
Bummer, because I just combined my auto and home.
Jerry, did you miss the garage again?
The garage door and the front door look so similar.
Save an average of $750 when you bundle your auto and home policies with State Farm. Get to a better state. Call 1-800-STATE-FARM today. Average household savings based on 2010 National Survey of New Policyholders reported savings by switching to State Farm.
Hi, Rick.
Hey, Phil. I need a new putter.
Well, sure. They're on sale.
Yeah, I know. I read your email newsletter.
So how you hitting them?
Shot a 79 yesterday.
Oh, fabulous. You must be reading my newsletter tips.
79 over par.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you want to look at some drivers, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Email marketing from Constant Contact helps you create professional newsletters that really drive business. It's easy, and plans are as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial. ConstantContact.com.
Oh! As the clock chimes a reminder that it's time to punch in for another shift, those of us who have worked tirelessly to honor our contracts and the promise they represent have also been paying attention to the many promises that have been ignored by the politicians.
Now as we mark the time for change,
it is you and I who will confidently send the message that since it is only us who have upheld their promises, that 2012 marks the time for change, and change begins with First Ship with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back, everybody. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Monday, the 23rd day of April 2012. A pleasure to be with you. A little later on in the hour, Chad Selweski will be joining us from Macomb Daily. Occupy Detroit, as they do every day, will be with us. But in this first segment today, there's a story that caught my attention. The headline read, and it was in Bridge Magazine, the headline read, Michigan has its own apprentice drama. And I don't know if drama is the right word, but it certainly got my attention. And why did it get my attention? The first paragraph, let me just read it. Actually, the second paragraph, let me read it very quickly, and then we're going to get to my guest. In 2008, the state began enforcing requirements in its basic law governing the electrical industry, the Electrical Administration Act, mandating that one fully qualified electrician be present at a job site for each apprentice at the site. The requirement became law in 92 after several electricians suffered injuries and some died after a series of accidents forced a focused attention on safety standards. However, a court injunction against enforcing it existed until 2008. The one exception to that rule is on residential construction, where there can be two apprentices for every fully qualified electrician. Now, listen, if I have to tell you why this is a critical story, then you don't get it and just relax. If I don't have to explain to you why, and I don't think I do, you'll understand why we're having this conversation today. This one-to-one rule seems to me to be critical. Now, for those of you that aren't aware, to become a licensed electrician in the state of Michigan requires 8,000 hours on the job and 1,200 hours of classroom time. That's a commitment. So if you are a licensed electrician in the state of Michigan, congratulations for fulfilling that commitment. But what kind of supervisory responsibility should there be? And is this fair or unfair? Well, let's turn to somebody that will certainly give his answer to that question. Joining us now is Tom Bowes. Tom is an assistant director with the Electrical Industry Training Center, and he joins us this morning to talk about this important issue. Tom, thanks for being with us this morning.
Well, it's good to be with you, Tony.
You know, I don't know that you're getting a lot of attention. This article came out, I guess, a week or so ago, maybe a little longer than that. But it surely got my attention because I can't imagine that there's a, especially for this industry, that there's a more, you know, critical piece to the future of those that will have these jobs and to make sure that they are properly supervised and properly trained. And when we're talking about electricity, I don't know about you, but I want to make sure that the people that are licensed and working on the stuff in my house or in the buildings that I'm going to be inhabiting know what they're doing. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, I think it's fair, and I also think that, you know, unfortunately, people give apprenticeship kind of a how shall we say, not the consideration that it should have in this country. You know, certainly if you look at some of the European systems, it's much more structured. It is much more well laid out as far as what is the mandated coverage for that. You know, coming from the union side, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, we've had an apprenticeship program for over 100 years, and have worked as a collaborative partnership with our employers since 1926. They have a full-time day school, which includes related training, as you mentioned, and then on-the-job training where the apprentice is partnered with a journeyman in order to learn the trade. And it's a very important component to developing an electrical professional that is able to handle various types of installations, know the codes, know the standards, do those installations, and do them safely.
You know, it's interesting. I know a lot of people that happen to be electricians and a lot of people at IBEW Local 58. You know, it, what I find fascinating, and anybody that knows an electrician, you know, most of them now speak glowingly of their mentor as they came through the system, as they, you know, garnered the needed certificates and the needed education. You know, they talk passionately about those people that mentored them and showed them the way. They talk passionately about the frustration of wanting to get to the finish line quicker. Listen, everybody goes through that. But Tom, at the end of the day, you know, again, going back to this article, there was a time where we weren't placing the proper focus on safety that we needed to place. So we'll ask the fair question. Is the one-to-one ratio unnecessary? Do we need to relax that?
I don't think that we need to relax it. I mean, you know, it's functional. It works. It allows for transference of knowledge from the journeyman to the apprentice. I know some people have classified it as being extreme, but I don't think it's extreme. I think it's a reasonable accommodation to deal with the fact that, hey, we're dealing with a highly technical occupation. You know, for as much as the public perception is an electrician is somebody who comes out and repairs a receptacle in your wall or repairs a light fixture in the ceiling, the reality is when you start getting into commercial, institutional, and industrial installations, and increasingly with residential installations, so when we start talking wind, solar, electric vehicles, alternative energy, power sources, the trade keeps getting more and more technical. And so consequently, there's a lot of knowledge to be learned during the course of that apprenticeship. You know, as I tell apprentices, when I was an apprentice, they presented me with a little bit of a challenge the day after I graduated. I showed up for work. They gave me a roll of blueprints about 4 inches around and a first period apprentice, and they said, there's the job, go do it. And surprise, I went out and did it. You know, because I had really high quality training by journeymen who were able to take me on a one-on-one basis and teach me the trade so that when I graduated, it wasn't a problem. You know, I knew what had to be done. I could read the blueprints. I understood the standards and codes involved. And by gosh, we went out and we did that job, and it really went smoothly.
You know, Tom Bowes, as we take a look at the criticism, one of the things that often concerns me, and there was the criticism in this article in Bridge Magazine, talked about the added cost to a contract by mandating this one-to-one ratio. And so I always have to say, all right, when we start focusing on, you know, the cost savings, that's the big red flag. That's the follow the money moment for me. And I, you know, again, I have to ask myself the question, when that's what they're leaning on, hey, listen, we'll save money by changing the regulation. Well, saving money should be the goal, or should safety be the goal? And I don't think you can replace one with the other.
Well, even with a one-to-one ratio, essentially, you are saving money because you have an employee who is working for a reduced wage during the training period. If I had to summarize it, I guess I would ask rhetorically, you know, how many in your listening audience have seen the movie The High Cost of Low Price?
Right, absolutely.
Okay, because there comes a point in which you have to look at what are you doing to your talent bank. when you have people that are not properly trained. And, you know, unfortunately, prior to the enforcement of the law, we had a lot of that. We had a lot of people who could not pass the state exam because, one, they weren't properly trained on the job, the ratios were not correct, and two, they didn't have the associated classroom training. Speaking with the people that administer those exams at the state, they tell me across the board they're seeing higher success rates since these two things have gone into effect, the mandated school training and the proper apprenticeship ratio, and I would count that as a success. You know, we, unfortunately, we've had a lot of unemployment over the last 10 years in this area because of what's happened to the industrial economy and also the meltdown in the financial system. But I'm proud to say that many of our members have found work elsewhere, working on the road, as we would say in the IBEW, and have managed to sustain themselves because of the skills and training that they've had here that they're able to apply in other places. And those other places have been very glad to have those people.
Yeah, there's no question. I know I know literally 20 people that is applicable to. Very quickly, before we run out of time here, Tom, let me ask you. There's some question that there will be legislation introduced that would change this ratio. Do you see it realistically that this is something that will have an engine to move forward, or is it going to be much ado about nothing?
Well, given the makeup of the state government at the moment, it's really hard to predict just how much emphasis this will receive. You know, anything that's perceived as being anti-business certainly receives a priority these days. And, you know, I would have to claim this is not really anti-business. If you take a look at this in the long term, business benefits when you have well-trained people. One of the things that happened towards the end of the Granholm administration was there was a shift in focus from trying to get everybody to have a college degree to looking at what's called mid-skills jobs, and your skilled trades jobs fall in that category. And these are basically jobs where you don't necessarily have to have a full college degree, but they do involve a specific set of knowledge and skills, and these are very important to the economy. And so we want to make sure that the workers that we have in those fields are well-trained and well-educated and able to perform the tasks associated with it to keep us competitive.
You said it perfectly. Tom Bowes, thank you so much. I think that, and we'll certainly keep an eye on this, especially if it does move forward in the legislature, but thank you so much for the clarity on this issue this morning. I sure appreciate it.
Well, it's good to spend time with you, Tony. Thank you for the opportunity. My pleasure.
Tom Bowes, once again, folks, we got to take a quick break. We'll be back on the other side of this.
First Shift with Tony Trivia.
I want the top wealthiest Americans to be taxed higher and that money to go to education.
I want true democracy for the 99% of us who don't have it anymore.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking the commute, we got a couple of problems. First one's on 275 southbound at Ann Arbor Road. You have a large pothole in the construction zone that has caused multiple vehicles with flat tires to move over to the shoulders. And you also got an accident that has your left shoulder blocked on 96 eastbound at Milford Road. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 55 degrees and partly cloudy with high winds. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 37 degrees. Tomorrow is going to be 59 degrees and partly cloudy. And it's currently 40 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
The 2012 Michigan Summit will celebrate and champion progressive change that is driving Michigan and will challenge all of us to make sure that all of Michigan moves forward together. Please go to themichigansummit.org right now and register to make sure you have saved yourself a seat for Saturday, May 12, 2012 at the Kellogg Center in East Lansing, Michigan. As keynote speakers George Crowell and Barbara Arnwine promise to deliver messages that transcend petty politics and empower all of us to find a new path to prosperity. Together, as we reach across every sector of society to uplift and engage all of our friends and colleagues, themichigansummit.org should be your first stop in planning for a future that is all-inclusive. Please join Progress Michigan in energizing, engaging, and winning. Register at themichigansummit.org right now.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310
WDTW.
I want to thank Tom Bowes once again for his time from the Electrical Industry Training Center. This may be one of those issues that, you know, some of you are kind of scratching your head. Trust me, this is going to be a topic of conversation. Before you know it, I'm not saying this, hey, I'm out front. I am out front of this issue. There's a reason why I'm out front on this issue. I've spent a lot of time with these types of issues. I understand how critically important regulation is. There are few industries that need the kind of training that electrical workers need, get, have. And that's a blessing. It's a blessing. I've often said, I understand why the IB, which stands for Brotherhood, which, of course, includes sisters. But there's a reason that it's a brotherhood. When you go through what you've got to go through to get licensed as an electrician here in the state of Michigan, that is family kind of work. You'll figure it out eventually. You truly will. You'll figure it out eventually. Very quickly, I happen to be watching the Morning Joe show on MSNBC, and Governor John Huntsman was on. I don't know that he still is. He's taking some flack lately, as I mentioned a little bit in the last hour, for talking against the GOP. And he's not doing it in a disrespectful way. I think he's doing it in a very concerned way. As a Republican, he's wondering, where's my party, dude? Because the Republican Party, for all intents and purposes, the way we understand it, or used to understand it, has disappeared. Now, listen, I'm no fan of any of the Republican parties, but who would have thought that we would be able to look back and say 15 years ago, at least, you know, there was a reason to be optimistic that you could negotiate with Republicans. Well, there was some truth to that, It's obvious Republicans are hell-bent on saying no. In fact, I posted yesterday, somebody had sent me a link to a Daily Kos post that I posted to the Facebook page yesterday on why the Republicans are doing what they're doing. And it starts off by saying, basically, if the president says it's raining, then Republicans say it's sunny. If the president says it's white, they say it's black. If the president says it's optimistic, they say it's pessimistic. They just have agreed to paint whatever the president's saying in the exact opposite of, it doesn't matter where the truth is in all this. And we've allowed them to get away with it. Well, maybe not most of us, but certainly some have. Senator Barbara Boxer from California was on one of the morning programs yesterday and spoke about the importance of reelecting the president. And this is what she had to say. I want you to hear her message loud and clear.
President Obama is there to protect the women of this country in the workplace, in the privacy of their homes, and wants to make sure that a woman has the right to decide her future in terms of her reproductive health care. This means respect for women. And when Mitt Romney doesn't even know if he'd sign a bill promising us equal pay for equal work, I got to say to the women out there, whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, or independent, if you're a self-respecting human being, please vote for President Obama. And to the men who care about women, do the same thing.
All right, so here's the deal. You're a candidate. I'm just going to throw this scenario out there. 888-552-3595. You're a candidate for the president's, for anything. You're a candidate. And you're asked your position on an issue. Now, here's the problem, and so we need to be honest about it. He and Mitt Romney, or at least his campaign, didn't know what the legislation was when they were asked the question, would your candidate support this Equal Pay Act? They didn't know what that's. Come on, let's just be honest about it. They didn't know what it was. That's why they hesitated and said they'd have to get back with us. Now, the problem was once they did figure it out, Mitt Romney then didn't say, of course I'm for equal pay. Yeah, absolutely. Because he's not. I mean, maybe it's because Ann, his wife, didn't tell him that he needed to be or not, because she seems to be his women meter. All right, so Ann's going to be his advisor on women issues. As uncomfortable as that will make many of the women within the sound of my voice, it seems clear that that's going to be how he gauges what he is going to focus on and not focus on, what he's going to have an opinion on or not have an opinion on. And ultimately, the problem isn't that, he wouldn't support equal pay. That's not even, and it's not even that they didn't really know what the legislation was. That isn't even the problem. The problem is that they actually had to stop, take a deep breath, walk away, come back, walk away again, come back again. When you take that much time to answer a simple question based on a lack of fundamental knowledge on issues, it's a problem. Now, we know that Mitt Romney is anti-woman, and we know that as we talk about whether it's him wanting to eliminate Planned Parenthood or any one of a variety of things Mitt Romney has said he is against, that we thought we had resolved long ago, reproductive rights amongst the many issues that face women in this country today. And as we, and I said earlier, be careful looking at the polling, but one of the pieces of polling that we can take a look at, because there's been some consistency to it, is the percentage of women that are not on the Romney team. And I assure you, they're not all Republicans. They're just not. All right, let's get a quick call in here before we get to the bottom of the hour break. 888-552-3595. Jim in Garden City joins us now. Jim, thanks for giving us a call this morning. What's on your mind?
Tony, if anybody thinks that an apprenticeship doesn't count, have your viewers watch Homes on Homes and any of those programs on houses and see what happens when you get houses put together with untrained people.
You're right. You know, that show is shot.
Absolutely appalling.
That show is shot in Canada, and they have a much different regulatory system than we do. And you are 100% right, Jim. That is a direct reflection on how people are trained. No question, that's true.
A plumbing apprenticeship is just as important as an electrical one.
You got it.
Because when you look at, you know, if one trade messes up in a house, it's not bad, but the ones he shows, everybody doesn't know what they're doing, and people end up the biggest investment of their lives, and they've got just a piece of crap.
Yeah, you're right. Jim, thank you so much for the call. Jim couldn't be more right. Whether any apprenticeship is there for a reason, it is to take knowledge that someone else knows through their own personal experience, share it with somebody else, train the next generation of those that are going to one day take that place. Do you really want to take shortcuts there? That's the question. Yeah, you're right. Homes on Homes is a great example of why we need training. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Chad Silweski will be with us from the Macomb Daily. Looking forward to having this conversation on the personal property tax. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
We have a couple of accidents there we're watching. On 275 southbound, just after the 96 M14 exit, your left shoulder is blocked. Heading over to 96 eastbound at Milford Road, your left shoulder is blocked by an accident. And don't forget to use caution in this area. 275 southbound at Ann Arbor Road, a large pothole is causing flat tires. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 55 degrees and partly cloudy with high winds. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 37 degrees. Tomorrow is going to be 59 degrees and partly cloudy. And it's currently 40 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. The Global Teach-In is happening April 25th, an international online effort to bring progressives of all stripes together to begin building a foundation for coordinated worldwide action to push for policies that benefit the 99%. Professor Jonathan Feldman of Stockholm University.
This teach-in gives us an opportunity to use electronic means to build up a kind of solidarity system, much like Occupy Wall Street has done with New York acting in solidarity with Oakland and vice versa, and this network that they have of thousands of cities, which itself will create a network to link different kinds of activists to exchange ideas and give them a resource. Because as we well know, corporations are acting globally, and so we, the citizens, the 99%, if you will, also have to act globally.
When the one percenters from the G8 group of wealthy nations meets in the U.S. May 18th, labor and community activist organizations will be marching in Chicago to protest. National Nurses United says that nurses, Robin Hood, and a band of merry women and men and scores of friends are preparing to head to Chicago Friday, May 18th. The G8 leaders switched their meeting from Chicago to the president's Camp David retreat to avoid the protests of the 99%, but activists will nonetheless stage a colorful march in Chicago. More than 65 organizations are endorsing the Chicago G8 action to protest economic policies that continue to hurt the vast majority of the world's people while benefiting a tiny percentage of the planet. More than 50 courtrooms could be shuttered across Los Angeles County after the state ordered a $30 million budget cut to Los Angeles Superior Courts. 24 civil courts and 24 criminal courts will be closed. The remaining closures will be divided among family law, probate, and juvenile courts. Nearly 350 workers will likely see layoffs under that budget cut. Judges won't face layoffs, so instead they'll be shuffled around the county and in many cases will be forced to share courtrooms and staff. Starting May 15th, individuals involved with civil suits will need to hire personal stenographers, as 68 court reporters will be cut. Sex workers in New York City are requesting that the police stop confiscating condoms as evidence. The Sex Workers Project referenced a study that shows the confiscation of condoms can have a negative impact on efforts to stop the spread of disease. In 1996, San Francisco passed a resolution that required police to take photos instead of confiscating condoms. An alleged sex worker having a condom in his or her possession can be used in court as evidence of prostitution. Having condoms on hand at a strip club can often be used to allege the performers are engaging in illegal activities. This newscast underwritten in part by AFSCME, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. You've been listening to WIND, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 7 o'clock, welcome back. As promised, Chad Solweski joins us now from the Macomb Daily about a week ago. He posted a piece online. Titled Business Tax Cut Wrong Way to Go, and he references an Epic MRA poll that shows that that 7 of 10 of us don't want to see it disappear. And this, to me, this is one of those issues that once people are educated as to what it does, especially if you juxtapose that against what's already happened, it kind of begs the question, if our municipalities are already suffering, eliminating the personal property tax does exactly what to our local community? Now, what complicates this just a smidge, well, maybe more than a smidge, is not every municipality benefits in the same way. Joining me now is Chad, and I appreciate you, Chad, taking the time to be with us this morning.
How you doing, Tony?
Good. You know, this is one of those stories that continues to hang around, and people are hearing PPT, and they might not exactly understand what it means. Of course, it's personal property tax. But let's say if we can, Chad, just kind of educate them a little bit before we get into some specifics. What is the personal property tax, and how does it indeed affect certain communities?
Personal property tax is a tax on the machinery and equipment inside of a business as opposed to the building and the land. And for some communities, it's a huge percentage of their local budgets. And it's not necessarily the communities you would think. In some cases, it's fairly small towns.
Yeah, and that's really where it does get complicated. Now, of course, in some communities, we can take a look at the city of Detroit, where the PPT is responsible for millions of dollars in a smaller community. And again, if we, Chad, look at it exponentially, it may only be, let's say, in some communities, $300,000 or $400,000. But for a community that may be the size of 10 or 12,000 people, that's a huge amount of money that would be, again, taken out of the city coffers. The problem, and we should articulate this, the problem is the governor has talked about wanting to eliminate the personal property tax. The conversation that we never seem to be able to have or finish is, what do we replace it with? Because if we do eliminate it, Chad, it really would handicap a lot of communities around the state of Michigan.
Yeah, the cities and townships, their concern is that it won't be replaced, or that if it is replaced, the legislature at some point will renege. They'll have that pot of money sitting there, and it'll be mighty tempting to dip into that fund. What they're saying right now is that 81% of the PPT would be replaced. That's not a very encouraging starting point for city officials that are skeptical that the fund will stay intact at all.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I want to go back to the piece that you posted, which again goes back to the Epic MRA poll. And I get what kind of just jumped out at me is that the voters have obviously been paying attention. Were you a little surprised by these numbers?
Yeah, I was. The numbers to me kind of showed that we've kind of hit the wall in terms of people willing to see cuts in government at the local level. This poll, you could argue, was the way the wording was done, but the people who were polled were told that this tax cut would help businesses and create jobs. And still, 70% said that if it's going to mean cuts in things like police and fire, we don't want it.
Well, you know, and of course, we've seen in some communities, Chad, and I would imagine that we'll start hearing more and more about this as we get into the summer months, but, you know, people overriding Headley and millages that have been certainly dotting local elections now for you know, the better part of the last 16, 18 months. It seems like whenever there's a local election, there seems to be a millage question on the issue. I've been surprised, Chad, by how many of these millage questions have actually passed, where people are saying, enough's enough. We are suffering. We cannot continue. You know, we did a story on Friday where the city of Harper Woods is down, literally down to one firefighter per shift. And I think that people live in these communities are finally saying, no, we need to go back to some sort of sanity here. I understand that you continue to cut taxes on businesses, but they don't seem to be reinvesting in our communities, and we need to start taking care of ourselves a little bit.
Yeah, I think the turning point was when people started seeing layoffs in police and fire. For whatever reason, the teachers are sort of a different category. People think the teachers are overpaid, et cetera. But with police and fire, that gets people worried, and they start thinking that they're paying taxes and they're not getting protection, and that to me was sort of the turning point.
Yeah, no question. Well, it'll be interesting to see how the Republican leadership, Chad Selesky, now handles this personal property tax debate, because they are going to start holding hearings. You know, they've made it clear that it's time to have that discussion. They continue to claim that it will, you know, just do nothing more than create a more friendly business environment. Of course, many of us are still waiting for the first set of reforms to kick in and for businesses to start announcing all kinds of new activity here in the state of Michigan. It just doesn't seem to be happening. And I think, again, going back to this epic MRA poll, Chad, that the voters of the state of Michigan are, A, not only convinced that it's not going to happen, but B, and maybe more importantly, they finally get that just because it might be business friendly doesn't make it municipal friendly, and ultimately we live in our neighborhoods at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think if you took this poll maybe in 2009, the numbers would have not been that high. People were still scared to death about the economy. Now we see things bumping up a little bit, but this is really part of a bigger overall plan where the Republicans in Lansing want to get rid of all the tax breaks and tax credits during the Granholm administration, and all tax cuts would be across the board. No industries targeted, and their belief is lower taxes across the board and businesses will come scurrying to Michigan. They haven't seen it yet, but that's their plan.
Well, that is the plan. Again, you're right. We haven't seen it yet, and we may not see it. It'll be interesting to see where this goes heading forward. I do want to let people know that you keep a blog at MacombDaily.com titled Politically Speaking, and all they have to do is go onto the website and in the search function, just type that in, and they will find it easily enough. I want to thank you for giving us some of your time this morning. I appreciate you having this important conversation with us.
All right, thanks a lot, Tony.
You bet. Chad Selesky, once again, to check him out. He's I like the way he writes. I like what he writes about. It's kind of rare, by the way, to have a journalist that actually still understands what it's like to be a journalist. And he is one of those rare birds these days. So I appreciate him giving us some of his time this morning. There's no lack, by the way, of information on the personal property tax. So if you whether it's the Detroit News, the Detroit Free Press, the Lansing State Journal, MLive, Gongwer, no matter where you're going, there is information. You're going to see the word, and maybe it'll be tomorrow's first word. You need to keep in mind that you're going to see the word elimination a lot. That's a key word in this. You know, it eliminates this, it eliminates that. Where you won't see, and see, this is where I have a problem with some journalism these days, is you don't see the word elimination attached to eliminating services, because that's ultimately what eliminating the personal property tax will do. It will eliminate services in your community. And again, if you didn't understand where this money is generated, for every piece of equipment, I owned a restaurant, so for all the equipment that was in my restaurant, it has a value. And according to that value, I paid a tax on that. That tax went directly to the municipality, who then puts that into their general fund. Get it? That's what happens to that money. Now, you know, every community may divvy it up a little differently, but that's basically what happens. So imagine, as an example, that, and I'll keep it simple, that you raise, a municipality raises $1 million a year through their personal property tax. And all of a sudden, that money is no longer collectible. How do you replace that $1 million? You answer that question on your own. How do you replace it? All right, so that's issue number one. But here's the deal. Read an article the other day that said so-and-so manufacturing business was going to buy a new piece of equipment but decided not to do it because of the personal property tax. So they're going to wait for the debate to happen, and they're hoping that the state eliminates the PPT, and then if they do, they will go out and buy this new piece of equipment. If they don't, well, then what? Well, they didn't answer that part of the question, and any damn journalist in the world would have asked that question. Or maybe the question was asked and answered and wasn't included or edited out of the story. But you gotta ask the question. I want the answer. Then what? Then what? I know then what. If I own a business as I have and I need to replace or add to my business, even understanding the personal property tax involved in that purchase of equipment, if I need it, I will buy it. Why? Because it ultimately will make me money. That's the part that they don't answer. Why don't, quote unquote, they answer that freaking question? Now, anyway, we're going to keep our eye on this PPT, folks. We need to keep an eye on what's happening. Hans Barbe with Occupy Detroit when First Shift continues. This is 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
And you guys vote Republican. I'm not supposed to. This isn't political. So I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do. You're on your own, Jack.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Attention, passionate Democrats all over Michigan.
The Michigan Democratic Party is proud to announce their annual fundraiser, the Jeff Jack Dinner.
Will be held this year on Saturday, April 28th,
and your attendance is required. They are thrilled to welcome to Michigan Robert Gibbs, senior advisor to Obama for America and a true friend of Michigan, as the former press secretary for our own Senator, Debbie Stabenow, as well as to President Obama. In addition to an amazing dinner at Cobo Center, this year marks the inaugural after party that is a can't-miss event.
And
is included in the price of your dinner ticket.
Whether you have attended in the past or this is your first time, the Jeff Jack Dinner is one of the most exciting events for Democrats, and it is literally a must attend for those of us who care about the Michigan Democratic Party. Just go to MichiganDems.com/JeffJack to purchase your tickets now.
That's MichiganDems.com/JeffJack.
And reserve your spot to one of the most exciting political nights of the year. We'll look forward to seeing you there.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is Brian Miller, co-author of the book Self-Made Myth and executive director of United for a Fair Economy.
Broadly speaking, the work of United for a Fair Economy, we work with, as you mentioned, we do work with labor, we do work with community groups, we do work with low-income groups that are organizing for greater equality and a more broadly shared prosperity, but we also work with these business leaders, and that's really about that cross-class organizing that we strive to do, it because there's a role for everyone in this work. Garrett Gruner, founder of Ask.com, the internet search engine, he has this wonderful op-ed in LA Times where he talked about no amount of tax breaks to the wealthy Americans are going to stimulate the economy if there's not a middle class capable of buying the products that are being made, and that there's a point when inequality gets so great that the economy, even if you don't care about values, the economy simply cannot sustain itself.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
They're chanting, we're standing right in the middle of this rally, and they're saying that they're tired of corporate greed. They've had it.
Absolutely. I'm part of the 99% that have fed up with the egregious behavior of the 1%. From now on, we occupy all streets.
The movement is resonating with cities across the country. It began as that Occupy Wall Street effort.
The movement to Occupy Wall Street coming to Detroit.
The world will not change unless the way we talk about it changes.
We can just get that message across. It'll hopefully start some change.
Dozens of UAW members showed up to support the protesters.
We're losing our homes. We're losing our jobs. Union workers are facing a terrible time at the bargaining table, and workers who don't have unions are even worse off.
Time for Occupy Detroit to Occupy First Shift. It is that time, 10 minutes before the hour of 8, and we do this every day at this time. I turn my attention now to an old hand at First Shift, somebody that's joined us on many other occasions, and that is Hans Barbe. Hans, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show today.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Thank you, brother. Do appreciate it. I got to tell you a quick little story as we get into our conversation. I posted something about the festivities on Wednesday with General Electric, and somebody, you know, a very conservative member of my audience said, yes, but, you know, sure, they've sent jobs overseas, and sure, they don't pay taxes, but what about the jobs they do create, and what about the retirees that they support? Okay, what about them? If that's your argument, you lost.
Right. I mean, they're an enormous company. I mean, I suppose you could talk about the media that they provide to the American public. However, they also dominate a large portion of the media. They own all of NBC. They provide a lot of electricity, I suppose, including nuclear plants. I believe a large contingent of anti-nuclear folks are going to be showing up on Wednesday. Actually, they're just an enormous company. They over the last 3 years have posted $19.5 billion, almost $20 billion in profits, without paying a single dime in taxes, and actually got a federal tax refund of $3.7 billion. They got money back. So it's a little bit insane. I don't know how, you know, one could really get behind them in their defense when they're sort of, in so many ways, a poster child company, you know, for tax dodging, you know, despite enormous amounts in profits.
Well, you know, even as we've talked on the show, listen, I understand that the reason that they have been able to do this is because not just Republicans, but Democrats have, well, allowed, through their own votes, they allowed this to happen. They allowed themselves to be manipulated. They allowed lobbyists to do their job. And so they've created an environment, our politicians. This has nothing to do with partisanship, Hans. It has to do with the political process. And we need to stop it, and we need to turn this around.
That's an excellent point. This is a reflection of the system as a whole. Republican or Democrat, this is how, it would take both parties to get all these loopholes through for them to not even pay taxes. You know, and for them to get money back, it takes both parties to do that sort of thing over this long a time. So this is you know, one of those companies that really kind of galvanizes the whole 1% versus the 99%, that there is something fundamentally wrong with our system as it works right now.
Well, you know, and quickly, so as we want to get to some of the details of the protest, Nolan Finley in the Detroit News wrote an article, an op-ed piece in yesterday's Detroit News, where he basically said it would be a black eye on the city of Detroit to protest General Electric while they're here for their shareholders meeting. He reminded us that it was Governor Jennifer Granholm that recruited them to participate here in the city of Detroit. And what a horrible thing for us to do is to let GE see Detroit this way. My God, Nolan, what the hell are you thinking?
You know, I would say time to wake up a little bit. It's we've got to kind of hold those accountable who are really messing with. Again, this is a company that really you know, brings up the whole 99% versus the 1%. This is what it's about. There's something much deeper wrong than how General Electric views the city of Detroit, I'm afraid.
Yeah, no, you're completely right. Tell me, tell us quickly, if people want to get involved in the demonstrations, how are they going to be able to do that?
Okay, well, you show up in either Grand Circus Park or Hart Plaza, starting around 8 a.m. By 8:30, we will be marching from Grand Circus to the Rensen, so you can, you know, meet us at Hart Plaza or join us at Grand Circus to march with us. And that's 8 a.m., starting at 8 a.m. This coming Wednesday morning.
All right.
And it'll be going on throughout the day. There'll be several contingents of different folks. But if you just want to join the masses, that will be the way to do it.
All right. Let's quickly take a phone call. We've only got about 60 seconds. Stephen Monroe, you've got about 20 seconds. What's on your mind?
Good morning, guys. My whole point, and I guess a lot of conservatives' point, is this is exactly why you have overreaching government. They get to pick winners and losers. They get to pick what companies get tax incentives, what companies get tax breaks, you know, what can manipulate the taxes and which ones don't. And, you know, look, I'm gonna agree with you guys to a certain extent. Both parties do it, but that's the whole point of having government less involved in these businesses, to where they can't pick winners and losers. And that's my point for the day, I guess.
Well, and I appreciate it, Steve. And that's where you I'm not going to speak for Hans, but that's where you and I would differ. Sometimes we need more government control to stop this kind of lunacy. Because at the end of the day, Hans, and we have to leave it here, but at the end of the day, the reason that companies like this don't pay their fair share is because there's not a government that says, listen, if I as a taxpayer, and I am a taxpayer, have to pay, so should they. That has to be regulated, unfortunately. Hans, thank you for your time today.
Most welcome, and I agree very much.
All right. Thank you so much. Hans Barbe, again, with Occupy Detroit. A quick break here. We'll be talking about this tomorrow and Wednesday morning. Don't worry. We're going to make sure we get you there if you need to get there. I'm Tony Truppiano, Mark Brewer, Christine Berry in the next hour. Going by fast, isn't it? This is First Shift. We'll continue right after the top of the hour break.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by McDonald's.
75 is your hot spot right now. We have an accident that has your left lane blocked on 75 northbound just before Adams, and on 75 southbound just after M59, your left lane is also blocked. And don't forget about that pothole that's eating tires on 275 southbound and Ann Arbor Road. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Drive through McDonald's and try a new Daily Double. It's two beef patties with cheese, lettuce, tomato, mayo, and onions. You could try it for just $1.89. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 55 degrees and partly cloudy with high winds. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 37 degrees. Tomorrow is going to be 59 degrees and partly cloudy. And it's currently 40 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit, home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano. Now, NBC News with the latest.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Mikluszewski. How do you top 90-degree heat in March? With an April snowstorm bringing heavy, wet snow from West Virginia to Western New York. NBC's Al Roker.
From Elkins, West Virginia, all the way up to Watertown, New York, we're basically looking at the heaviest snow in the parts of from Erie, Pennsylvania, to just south of Buffalo, about 12 to 18 inches of snow possible.
And while the Northeast freezes, the Western U.S. is basking in summer-like weather. Don't look now, but gas prices are retreating. AAA says we're paying an average $3.86 for regular. That's down a nickel the past week. On Wall Street, renewed concern about Europe's finances is pushing stock futures lower. European shares have had a bearish day. And talk about a Coke habit. Health officials in New Zealand say a woman's 2-gallon-a-day Coca-Cola addiction probably contributed to her death, primarily because of toxic levels of caffeine. For its part, Coke says too much of anything, even water, can be harmful. This is NBC News Radio. The Florida man who killed an unarmed teenager is now out of jail after posting bond. George Zimmerman walked out of the Seminole County Jail just after midnight. He's awaiting trial for second-degree murder. NBC's Kerry Sanders.
Free on a $150,000 bond, George Zimmerman holding a brown paper bag and saying nothing to reporters as he got into a white BMW, was released from the Seminole County Jail just past midnight.
Maine Senator Susan Collins says the Secret Service prostitute scandal may not have happened if the service had more women employees. A dozen agents and 11 military personnel are accused of hiring prostitutes in advance of President Obama's trip to Colombia. And a woman is recovering after suffering a possible heart attack. Where else? But at the Heart Attack Grill in Las Vegas. It's the second time this year a customer had to be taken out of the grill on a stretcher. The restaurant proudly advertises the bypass burger. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Jim Mikluszewski, NBC News Radio.
Nutritionists and scientists agree that blueberries have amazing antioxidant properties, but eating blueberries alone won't get you all the health benefits you need. That's why I created Blue Science, a revolutionary line of nutritional supplements combining the best of blueberries, blueberry extracts, and other special plant extracts. One capsule of Blue Science contains more pterostilbene than 500 cartons of blueberries. Pterostilbene is a compound found in blueberries that helps your body's cellular activities. Unlock the power of blueberries with Blue Science. Available at Walgreens and GNC.
Mike Rowe talks with a real Ford service advisor about a big event.
Fiona, if I didn't know better, I'd say you're having some sort of sales event.
We are the big tire and brake sales event.
What are the important aspects of the sale?
We have special rebates, offers, and discounts.
Stop by a Ford dealer now to buy four select tires and get a $100 rebate. Plus, get a $40 rebate on Motorcraft Complete Brake Service.
So you have a lot of tires. It involves brakes, too.
Correct.
Which is why it's called the Big Tire and Brake Sales Event.
You're good.
Yeah, thank you.
Offer cannot be combined. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for vehicle exclusions and rebate details through 531-12.
Businesses and governments cutting costs, farming out some of the work, is paying off for Xerox, the company posting a better-than-expected profit, helped by its expansion into the business of handling and automating electronic payments for governments and the processing of claims for insurers. Monopoly may be the best-selling board game ever, but it might be seeing some slowing, along with Battleship, The Game of Life, Scrabble, and Trivial Pursuit, as Hasbro says it swung to a quarterly loss, largely due to weakness in games and puzzles, especially in the U.S. and Canada. A respected group of economists and business leaders is throwing some cold water on fears of a slowing recovery. A National Association for Business Economic Survey finds about 4 in 10 companies, the most since last July, say they expect employment to pick up in the next 6 months. But worries about how a French election will change the way Europe handles its debt crisis has S&P futures down almost 14 points, NASDAQ futures falling 24, and Dow futures are giving back 124 points. I'm Steve Potus at MarketWatch.com.
It's time to move toward a different kind of communications company. We're CenturyLink, and we're committed to help with reliable technology, personal service, and 24/7 tech support for your home and 24/7 network reliability monitoring for your business. And we'll continue to free you from hassles with real choice and flexibility and a price lock guarantee. Focus on what matters to you and get the most from your technology. Find out more about our honest and fair communication solutions at CenturyLink.com. CenturyLink, your link to what's next.
There's no guarantee your new proposal will be approved by your biggest client. No guarantee your son will win his lacrosse tournament. We live in a world where guarantees are few and far between. But when you invest in municipal bonds insured by Assured Guarantee, every dime of principal and interest is guaranteed. Savvy investors rely on Assured Guarantee's financial strength and municipal credit experience. For insured municipal bonds, talk to your financial advisor or visit thinkassuredguarantee.com.
State Farm, this is Jessica.
Hello, Jessica. Jerry Newman calling. How much could I save by combining auto and home policies?
Well, you could save over $750, but remember you dropped us?
Bummer, because I just combined my auto and home.
Jerry, did you miss the garage again?
The garage door and the front door look so similar.
Save an average of $750 when you bundle your auto and home policies with State Farm. Get to a better state. Call 1-800-STATE-FARM today. Average household savings based on 2010 national survey of new policyholders reported savings by switching to State Farm.
Hi, Rick.
Hey, Phil. I need a new putter.
Well, sure. They're on sale.
Yeah, I know. I read your email newsletter.
So how you hitting them?
Shot a 79 yesterday.
Oh, fabulous. You must be reading my newsletter tips.
79 over par.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you want to look at some drivers, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Email marketing from Constant Contact helps you create professional newsletters that really drive business. It's easy, and plans are as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial. ConstantContact.com.
As you grab your time card and get ready to punch in, and as you dedicate another day to honoring your contract and your commitment to quality, maybe it's time to reinforce to your boss and your elected representatives that they owe you for continuing to make their lives easier, and that it is the work that you do that rewards them for the work that they do, that it is because of you that progress is made, that your sacrifices and your willingness to change help them grow. And now it's time to honor what you have done. And what you have done cannot be ignored any longer. You will now raise your voice. Your voice is now. First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Monday morning, the 23rd day of April 2012. And what a morning it's been. Really just an honor to be with you. As I mentioned earlier on in the show today, we have less than a week to go before Jeff Jack, which is going to be on Saturday, just under 2 weeks away from the May 5th caucuses. So those will be the first couple things we talk to Mark Brewer about in just a minute. And I just want to remind you, as Democrats, we've got the next couple of weeks really are going to be an amazing focus point for us. So let's just feel good about what's going on, because there's a lot going on. I want to encourage, as I did yesterday morning when I was out with the sore breakfast, I want to encourage as many of you to come to Jeff Jack as possible, and I want to encourage as many of you to come to the caucuses as possible. I just want you to be around like-minded people. It really is helpful. At the bottom of the hour, Christine Berry with Blogging for Michigan will be with us. We haven't spoken to her in quite a long time. As many of you know, she wasn't feeling well for a while, and then her father passed away, and she will rejoin us after a short hiatus away from the show, and we'll look forward to welcoming her back. But in order to do this thing properly, let's get some introductions out of the way and get this hour going.
The leading voice for the Democratic Party in Michigan, an architect of progressive victory.
This was really governed by press release. I'm trying to get as hard as possible for people to find out how to vote and actually get out and vote. They're doing everything they can to try to minimize turnout among people who tend to vote Democratic because they believe that that helps them maintain their grip on power.
It's time for Monday Mornings with Chairman Mark Brewer.
And it is that time. We do welcome back to the show Mark Brewer this morning. Captain, my captain, I sure appreciate you once again spending some time with us. Thanks for being here today.
Morning, Tony. Glad to be with you, as always.
You know, we've got and again, I want to start off, and you heard what I just said. We've got less than a week to Jeff Jack. We've got under 2 weeks to the May 5th caucuses. I mean, Mark, as Democrats, we've got a lot going on, so let's start this off again, because I wanted to be sure. We still have tickets available for Jeff Jack on Saturday?
Yes, we do. People can purchase them either by calling our office at 517-371-5410, or they can go online to our website at www.michigandems.com, and we'll sell tickets at the door as well. Ticket sales are going very well. We're going to have great attendance. Virtually our entire congressional delegation are going to be there, both Senators Levin and Stabenow, our legislative leadership, a lot of the top union leadership, progressive leadership in the state will be there. So it'd be a great night to talk about the issues, listen to a great speaker, Robert Gibbs, one of the top advisors to President Obama, and focus on what we've got to do in November.
You know, I was talking with somebody. I gave a keynote address at a retirement breakfast yesterday morning, Mark, and I was talking to a handful of people before the breakfast and then, of course, some after about Jeff Jack. And this particular group happens to be some labor leaders said that they'd never been to Jeff Jack. And so I, of course, encouraged them to come on Saturday. And of course, I've been to Jeff Jack, Mark. What I want people to understand, if they've never been before, is that you will get the most uncommon access. You have mentioned Senators Stabenow and Levin. I am sure that, the congressional delegation will be there. You are at the state level. Your House rep and your state senators will be there. If you're a Democrat and you're connected in any way to the Democratic Party, Mark, you're going to be there on Saturday night. If you want to meet these folks, and listen, it's a very social event. And so if you really want to meet and ask these folks questions and just, hang out, this is the weekend to do it.
Absolutely, Tony. And, one of the great things about our party and this event shows it. It happens at conventions. It happens elsewhere. All these elected officials that I just described will stay after and talk to folks. I mean, I have seen our elected officials, heck, our guest speakers, stay after for 20, 30, 40 minutes for people who want to talk to them, for people who want their autograph, for people who want a picture. They will stay and talk, and a lot of people look forward to that aspect of it, being able to, have a minute or two or a picture taken, a word with these top elected officials. People are very accessible in our party from top to bottom, and this is one of the great opportunities to have that kind of access.
And in fact, one of the reasons that you're doing something for the first time this year that you've never done before is just for that reason. A lot of people did want to stay a little bit longer, Mark, so you thought, well, if you want to do it, let's go ahead and extend the evening.
That's right. I mean, one of the things I've tried to do since I've been chair, Tony, is keep Jeff Jack on a much tighter schedule. Sometimes in the past, those dinners went till 10 or 11 o'clock at night, and that just wasn't working well for folks. So we always have finished by 9 o'clock since I've been chair, sometimes earlier. So what we've done now is add something called Jeff Jack After Dark, which is a voluntary, not mandatory, after event where people can stay, drink, dance, socialize, talk about politics after the Jeff Jack is over. And we think that's going to be very popular with folks as we wrap that up this year.
Yeah, and I mentioned this last week. I'll mention it again today and throughout the week. It's free. It's free with your ticket. So if you buy the ticket to dinner, you get to go to the After Dark event for free. Why would you not want to do that?
That's right, Tony. I mean, there's a reception beforehand, which is included in the ticket price, a great chance to mingle. There's the dinner and all the mingling activities and opportunities there, and then there is this post-event. So if you're up for it, you could get 5 or 6 hours of mingling and networking and talking with Democrats from all over the state, from the grassroots to the top leadership, this Saturday evening.
Well, I know I'm looking forward to it and looking forward to meeting a lot of our listeners there, and it should be a lot of fun. Let's turn our attention now towards the May 5th caucuses. Mark, I did post to our Facebook page over the weekend, one of the precinct delegates, one of the more passionate precinct delegates, asked me to post a link to the Michigan Democratic Party website where, of course, all the caucus locations are listed. It is now on the Facebook page. We'll make sure that we continue to keep it prominently there so people can get involved. But I do want to remind them that the caucuses are on May 5th and what that's all about, Mark.
Well, it's important to come out and show our support for the president. The caucuses will start promptly at 11 o'clock Eastern time at all those 200-plus sites around the state. Registration, in most cases, will start as early as 9. But there'll be a lot of other activities going on there besides the important part of voting for, supporting the president. We're coming up on candidate filing deadline, Tony, and so many candidates will be there signing up volunteers, doing organizing activities, getting signatures on petitions. I suspect that there will be a lot of presentations, ballot questions. Obviously, there are a lot of ballot questions that the party supports and we're involved in, and I suspect we'll have a lot of circulators of petitions at these caucus sites. So again, like Jeff Jack, it's an opportunity for a lot of organizing up work, a lot of networking opportunities built around this important vote for the President of the United States.
Well, again, I said how I opened the show. If you're a Democrat or you one day want to be one, I can't imagine the next 2 weeks aren't something that isn't going to appeal to everybody either in the party or on the fringe of the party if you want to just get a flavor for it. In fact, let me, you know, I want to point out that the caucuses, Mark, are open to they're open to the public. These are not private Democratic Party-only event. That's not a Democratic Party-only event.
That's right, Tony. You don't have to be a paid party member. Heck, you don't even have to be a registered voter. If you come, though, and you register, you'll indicate, today I'm a Democrat, and I do promise to register to vote. And again, we'll have voter registration forms there for people to fill out. But it is a great way for folks who are curious about the party or maybe haven't participated very much to come and kind of check it out. It's only an hour or two out of your time on a Saturday morning. Again, well worthwhile. You'll get an exposure to a broad variety of Democratic activities going on in your area at these caucus sites on Saturday, May 5th.
Yeah, no question. And so no matter what your connection, again, is to the party, whether it's you want to enjoy the festivities that will be Jeff Jack this upcoming Saturday or the caucuses, which will be a week from that Saturday, both of those are available to you, or one of them, depending on what you want to do. I just, again, can't imagine that if you're connected in any way to the party that you wouldn't want to participate at some level. And we do, Mark, need to start focusing on the general very quickly before we have to take our first break here. You know, we can now start focusing, as we have a presumptive nominee on the Republican side, we now need to start focusing on the general election, and we need to get our ducks in a row. We need to make sure that we've got the president's back here in the state of Michigan, and that we give him the state in a more profound way than we did the last time around.
That's absolutely right, Tony, and we've been working. We're working with the president, with Organizing for America, now Obama for America, for some time. We now have 10 offices open around the state, staff on the ground, thousands of volunteers engaged in canvassing, talking on the phone. We had a lot of canvassing just last weekend. I mean, we are taking advantage of this warm weather to get out there. While, frankly, the Romney campaign in Michigan does nothing. They have no offices, no staff, a lot of talk, a lot of hot air, Tony. But we're out there working every day to make sure the president gets reelected come November.
Yeah, and in fact, Mark, we've got to get to the break here. They have a quote-unquote an office in Livonia. The only problem is that it's empty and it's closed.
That's right. Abandoned office. That's the best sign of the Romney campaign here in Michigan.
All right, let's take a quick break. Mark Brewer, again, the chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, is my guest. He is my guest every Monday at this time. When we come back, we'll talk some Pete Hoekstra. We'll talk a little bit more Mitt Romney as well. If you'd like to join us, do it now. 888-552-3595. We'll take the break here on First Shift and be right back.
Shift with Tony Trivino.
I'm in this race because I care about Americans. I'm not concerned about the very poor. We have a safety net there. You can choose where to focus. You can focus on the rich. That's not my focus. You can focus on the very poor. That's not my focus.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
75 is your hot spot right now. We have an accident that has your left lane blocked on 75 northbound just before Adams. And on 75 southbound just after M59, your left lane is also blocked. And don't forget about that pothole that's eating tires on 275 southbound at Ann Arbor Road. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 55 degrees and partly cloudy with high winds. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 37 degrees. Tomorrow is going to be 59 degrees and partly cloudy. And it's currently 40 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift with me, Tony Trupiano, after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
The 2012 Michigan Summit has an ambitious goal in mind, reaching across movements, geography, race, and gender to provide people skills and the ideas they need to make the American dream a possibility for all of us in 2012. Follow their lead and register today by going to themichigansummit.org. The Michigan Summit is hosted by Progress Michigan and generously supported by the Arcus Foundation and sponsors like the American Federation of Teachers, Michigan Voice, Service Employees International Union, America Votes, and many more. Please join Progress Michigan on Saturday, May 12, 2012 at the Kellogg Center in East Lansing, Michigan, beginning at 8 a.m. in what promises to be an amazing day of activities, including the dynamic keynote speakers George Goel and Barbara Arnwine. Don't delay your registration. Just go to themichigansummit.org and register now to guarantee your seat for what will be an amazing day of activism and empowerment. Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support. Recently on First Shift,
Bruce Felk, who is the spokesperson for Michigan Rising.
Call me crazy, but I'm hoping we can have 50,000 people show up in Lansing on May 5th. We're actually going to, we're inviting the other folks. We're calling it a democracy buffet. Any other groups that are circulating petitions for the November ballot are welcome to come and offer their petitions for signature to the citizens of Michigan also on that day.
A democracy buffet, I like that.
First Shift with Tony.
On 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Got something to tell Tony? 1-888-552-3595. Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, time to punch back in.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 8 o'clock. Again, Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, is my guest. MichiganDems.com is the website you want to go to. You know, Mark, before we move on, I kind of want to stick with Mitt Romney as we were before the break. I want to remind the audience, on Friday we learned that the Romney campaign, the national campaign, has fired their Michigan director, didn't renew his contract. They've closed the only office that they really had here in the state of Michigan and Livonia. If I'm a Republican in the state of Michigan and I'm pretty much stuck with this guy as my nominee now, what kind of message is that sending to me?
Well, Tony, at best it's a mixed message. Again, a lot of rhetoric from Romney and the Republicans here about how important is Michigan. But then, again, what's going on the ground? Are there any offices at all? No. Any staff? No. Any on-the-ground activity? People going door-to-door? People making phone calls on behalf of Mitt Romney? No. The answer to all those questions when it comes to the Democrats and Barack Obama is an emphatic yes. So people need to look beyond the rhetoric, beyond the news stories which claim there is activity. There is no on-the-ground Mitt Romney activity in Michigan.
All right. But let me just move on. And I'm going to, for a moment, I'm just going to ask people that are listening to just bear with me a moment, because I have to ask a question. Because I think it's an important question to ask. We take a look at these candidates. I think it's fair, Mark, that we get to know them as well as we possibly can. It's a different time with a 24/7 news cycle. Whether we want to know more doesn't matter, because we are now forced in some way to know more. So we hear there's a clamoring again for Mitt Romney to be a little more forthcoming with his tax returns. Now, I see why this is critical for a lot of reasons. You know, there are certain things that I would agree are off limits, but this isn't one of them. What is Mitt Romney, what is he doing that he shouldn't be? Is he just not being forthcoming enough, Mark?
Well, Tony, what we've seen is the release of 1 year's of tax returns. I think it was 210, and an estimate for last year, but that's it. And we're not asking for very much here, Tony. All we're asking is that Mitt Romney follow the standard set by his father when he ran for president back in the late 60s. His father released 12 years of tax returns. He said, look, it's easy to manipulate, you know, just releasing 1 or 2 years. You can manipulate things. He wanted to show the American people that there was no manipulation, the sources of his income over a longer period, so people could judge for themselves, you know, what he had been doing in terms of investing and income and so forth. So we're simply asking Mitt Romney now to follow the standard of his father. Even from the limited information we've seen, Tony, we found overseas bank accounts in the Cayman Islands, and I think one in Switzerland. Found some evidence of investing in companies which outsource, et cetera. Mitt Romney owes the American people, like his father thought he did almost 50 years ago now, the opportunity to examine these tax returns for themselves and reach their own conclusion.
All right, but Mark, it's not like Mitt Romney has to go back and recreate this information. He's filed it. He owns it. He has that in his possession. Can't he just release this information?
Yeah, absolutely, Tony. We're not asking him to create anything new. All of us have to file tax returns. So all we're saying is make them public so that the people can decide for themselves, you know, based on the information that's in there, whether you're the kind of person with the character, the integrity, the values that justifies us voting for you for president of the United States.
All right, I'm going to ask the audience to forgive me for a second, because I probably should know the answer to this, but I don't. Has he responded to this request for his tax returns? And if he has, what has he said?
Again, continued stonewalling and secrecy. Tony, they've said, well, maybe eventually we'll release the 211 return. But, you know, what does that mean? Are we going to see it at all before the general election? I doubt it. Based on his pattern of stonewalling, he only released what little we've seen so far, Tony, under tremendous pressure in the Republican primary process.
Well, right, and it was actually his Republican colleagues that pressured him into finally doing it.
That's right, that's right. But again, very, very limited. 1 year, an actual return, and an estimate, some information about another year. Now that we're near what, you know, the president, the vice president have already released all of this. Candidates in prior years made overwhelming disclosures. Heck, Tony, Mitt Romney gave 23 years worth of tax returns to John McCain in 08 when he was being vetted to be the potential vice presidential candidate. If he can turn that over that easily in order to be the vice president candidate on the ticket, you'd certainly think he can turn over 12 years in order to be the Republican presidential candidate.
Well, I'll leave this issue alone for now. I mean, the only thing that I will add to it is I can't think of a more nonpartisan issue than being forthcoming with the entire electorate about what your financial situation is. And, Mark, you and I had this conversation last week. We know he's wealthy. We're not criticizing him for his wealth. We know that he's been successful. We're not criticizing him for his success. All we're saying is we'd like to know exactly what it is we're getting, and part of that is we need to take a look at everything you've done, not just what you think we need to know.
That's right. Again, it's just a part of a pattern of secrecy here, Tony. We saw last week that he starts to disclose his plans for radically cutting the federal government at a secret meeting with donors, to which the press was not present. He walks out the door of the governorship of Massachusetts taking a lot of records with him so that nobody would ever see the true inside operation when he was governor. Now we have this tax issue. I mean, there's a real disturbing pattern here of secrecy, lack of accountability, lack of transparency. That's an important consideration for the voters in November.
All right, very quickly, we only have about a minute and a half, 2 minutes here before we have to go. I want to turn our attention towards Pete Hoekstra for a moment as we take a look at his filing. We see that he's spending money about as quickly as he's raising it. Now, we're not even close to the primary yet. He still has a primary to get through. You know, Mark, what does this tell us about Pete Hoekstra's haul ahead of him?
Well, Tony, if you can't manage the finances of your campaign, how can you possibly help manage the finances of the country? This is a continuing fallout of that terrible, racially insensitive ad last winter. It not only cost him a lot of money, but his contributions dropped dramatically, I think by about 30% last quarter in the wake of that ad compared to the prior quarter. And on the other hand, Debbie Stabenow's contributions surged to, I think, about $1.5 million last quarter, more than double what Pete Hoekstra took in. So his fundraising dropped, and he spent virtually all of that money that he raised, Tony. He now finds himself pretty much even with his primary opponent, like Clark Durant, in terms of cash on hand. That's an extraordinary position to be in just a few months before the Republican primary, and you really got to question his management skills.
Yeah, there's no question. We're gonna really keep an eye on this, and of course we'll get back. Mark, we're just out of time for today. We want to remind people Jeff Jack is this Saturday. We are running commercials, so for those of you that are in the car, you can listen, or we're gonna post the link up to the Facebook page before we get out of here today. Mark, thanks so much. We'll visit on Saturday and talk about it on Monday.
Thank you, Tony. See you Saturday.
You got it. Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. God knows I'm looking forward to seeing him this weekend. All right, a quick break here. Christine Berry, blogging for Michigan, in our blog roll segment when First Shift continues. Stay with us.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your drive, we're still watching that accident on 75 southbound just after M59 that has your left lane blocked and is causing stop and go traffic from Lapeer Road. We also got a slow go on 275 southbound between 7 Mile and the M1496 exit due to construction. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 55 degrees and partly cloudy with high winds. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 37 degrees. Tomorrow is going to be 59 degrees and partly cloudy. And it's currently 40 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us this morning is Terry O'Neill. Terry is the current president of the National Organization for Women.
Mitt Romney has failed to condemn Rush Limbaugh's three-day vicious vitriolic attack on an ordinary young woman whose big crime was that she stepped into the public sphere to testify before Congress. He is a dangerous guy. A number of commentators have made this point. The senior Republican leadership seems to be very much afraid of
First Shift with Tony Tribbiani on 1310 WDTW.
The Lone Ranger was a masked man who was out to bring bad guys to justice. Ed Kennard is a masked man who is out to bring bad guys to power. A multimillionaire financier who was a top henchman in Bain Capital, Mitt Romney's old outfit of corporate plunderers, Kennard is currently riding with a small but fearsome Citizens United gang, which has taken over presidential politics. Unlike the James Gang and other robbers of yore who stole from banks and railroads, these thieves are bankers and high-rolling railroaders. Thanks to the Supreme Court's edict in the infamous Citizens United case, they are now able to use unlimited amounts of their corporate wealth to create super PACs that are proving to be devastating weapons against democracy. Kennard is one of the handful of financial elites who've put $1 million or more into Romney's super PAC, enabling it to whack his opponents and take the GOP nomination with an unprecedented barrage of venomously negative advertising. Kennard is known as a masked robber because he tried to disguise his $1 million involvement by using the fake name of W. Spahn. Incredibly, that's not illegal. But it was so glaringly odd that Romney's campaign had to fess up to Kennard's real name. Speaking of names, the Romney super PAC is called Restore Our Future. Whose future does it mean? The mega donors, of course. This was candidly confessed by another member of the Citizens United gang, hedge fund hustler Ken Griffin, who says he's in Romney's super PAC because, quote, I think the ultra-wealthy actually have insufficient influence in Washington. This is Jim Hightower saying, so they're using their millions to purchase a presidency that promises to extend the unregulated tax-subsidized system that enriches them at the expense of the rest of us. It's legalized thievery by the rich.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy.
We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595.
You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
It just keeps getting better. It does. It just keeps getting better. 8:35 on this Monday morning, and it just keeps getting better. What do I mean by that? Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. Give me an intro, and I'll show you. Go ahead.
Leading the charge for online truth and a vision that transcends the minutia
and delivers information that impacts us all.
Welcome back to First Shift, this week's blog world.
First of all, we just would love to have more progressive bloggers anyway, but local progressive bloggers are very important because there's so much happening at city council meetings and boards of commissioners, at the county clerks. I mean, you've got people who impact almost every aspect of your life.
From Blogging for Michigan,
Christine Berry.
And Christine does join us after a, well, as far as I'm concerned, a very long hiatus, but and frankly, for all the wrong reasons. First, she was quite ill, and then, God bless you, sweetheart, your father passed away. But I do want to welcome you back, and I have missed you dearly.
And I have missed you too, Tony. Thank you for welcoming me back like that. I missed being on the show. I felt like I was kind of putting a burden on Chris, because every week I was like, I can't come back yet. So he took over for me. You guys did a great job.
Well, he was very gracious about it, and if he was upset about it, he certainly never let on to any of us, including you, so I'm going to assume that he was just fine with it. And anyway, it is great to have you back. And unfortunately, Christina, you know, not unlike I'm sure many in our audience, I know what it's like to lose a parent. I lost my mom some years ago. In fact, lost my mom and my brother within 8 months of one another, which was a really difficult thing to go through, and it's just never easy to lose someone that has had such an amazing and powerful influence in our lives.
It has been kind of tough. You know, you go through and reevaluate what the person meant to you and your own mortality as well. And I wasn't expecting it. He fell and broke his leg, and that was on a Thursday, and we lost him on Sunday. His body just didn't handle it. And so it wasn't an expected thing, but we did have enough time to bring everybody together. And the services and the condolences and everything were just amazing, Tony. And if I can, I wanted to give a shout-out to Local 598. My dad retired from Chevy Truck and Bus, and that was his local. And they were wonderful, sending their sympathies and just being supportive. And if I can to recognize the Air Force services, he had full military honors. He served in Vietnam at Cameron Bay, and he was also in Taiwan and Thailand. And so he had full military honors with the Air Force, and it was just so amazing. And I was just so filled with pride when they went through their service, and even just very touched by their kindness and compassion. So it's a nice service, and I guess if you have to lose somebody, having people who love you and love him around and going through a nice service like the Air Force, you know, presentation and all that, I guess that's the way to do it.
Absolutely,
you know?
And what a beautiful sentiment. And again, you said that perfectly, so I don't want to touch it. I just think that it's wonderful to know that our service to our country, however that manifests itself, is never forgotten in times of need. And so it's nice that you have that experience to fall back on. I think that's great.
Yeah, it was just amazing. I mean, there's really something about an officer, you know, kneeling in front of you and saying, on behalf of a grateful nation and the President of the United States, I mean, you just... You know, and you think you have yourself totally held together up until that point. I mean, if TAPS isn't bad enough, here's this guy on one knee saying thank you. So it's amazing, and I'm glad that my dad was part of this larger community that he is very, very proud of.
Absolutely. So. By the way, Chris Savage just sends a tweet that he was fine filling in, but thrilled that you're back and a part of Blog Roll once again. So thanks, Chris. Glad to know you're listening. Let's turn our attention now to bloggingformichigan.com. You have put up a link both on my Facebook page, and of course, you did some work on the Red to Blue project, which we've talked about on this show previously. Three House seats that we want to take a look at. And I want to, before we even get started, Christine, have the general conversation how critically important it is that every Republican be challenged this year. And I'm starting to get a little concerned about that, to be honest with you.
I am, too. I'm not finding a lot of Democratic candidates. And even in the 85th, which I haven't looked at yet, that's my district, you know, Ben Glardon, who is the Republican incumbent now, very vulnerable. It's hard to get somebody to commit to taking him on. And there have been a number of reasons that I've heard for that, and they're just very practical things. People don't want to lose their jobs. They don't want their families to have to go through the smear campaign that you're going to get from a Republican. They, you know, don't want to spend weekends away trying to raise money, or they don't feel they can raise the money. I mean, these are all legitimate reasons. They're just unfortunate reasons that, you know, some of them can be overcome. So, But I don't know that I've ever noticed a field so thin. Have you, Tony?
No, and you know, it's interesting because last week I spoke at the North Oakland County Democratic Club in Lake Orion, and one of the questions I got asked, it was about Mike Rogers. How do you beat a right-winger like Mike Rogers? And this was asked by a very nice, respectable, retired man. And I said, well, whether it's Mike Rogers or your state rep or state senator, it's all about finding legitimate candidates and then making sure they're well funded. Christine, everybody that's listening to the sound of our voices right now needs to understand something. If you want to turn these red districts blue, you're going to have to donate some cash. There's no way around it. It takes money to win in politics.
Yep, that's absolutely true. And even if it's not a lot of money, it's something. It adds to the pot, and it shows, you know, one more donor. I remember talking to Dan Kildee, and he was talking about how all of his contributions were coming in $3, $5, $10, $25. But if you can do that, it shows the organizations that maybe have more money to give you that you are, you know, a viable candidate. You can raise money, and, you know, people tend to give more money and more support to those candidates. So you just... You can make a difference. You can send $3 or $5 to one candidate, $5 to another, $10 to another.
Well, anybody that's on the Obama campaign mailing list gets the email once a week about the $3 donation, and you all know what I'm talking about. That's what they ask for, is $3. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Well, let's take a look at because we're going to keep you after the break. So let's start taking a look at some of these seats, and I'm just going to start with the 93rd. You'll let people know where the 93rd is and what we're looking at right now.
Sure. That one is Clinton and Gratiot counties, and it's going to change just a little bit due to the redistricting, but that's actually favorable to us. The current rep is Paul Opsommer. He's one of the really anti-union guys. You know, one of those that plays on all the right-wing hot topics, forced unionization, partial birth abortion, just a loon. He's termed out, so this is probably going to be a pretty hotly contested seat. I'm sure the GOP is going to be targeting it. We have one candidate listed there, Paul Silva, and unfortunately I just don't know anything about him. There are two GOP candidates who have filed already. But this is a little bit more Democratic now. It covers Breckenridge, Alma, St. John's, DeWitt. I think we can take the seat. There's going to be a fight, you know. So we either need to, well, we have to. We have to fund whatever candidate we get running there. They have to be supported by our organizations and by our grassroots.
And for those that are not aware, that is mid-Michigan. So those that aren't familiar with the geography of the 93rd, that's mid-Michigan. It is... I think you're right, especially after taking a look at the map that you'd posted at bloggingformichigan.com. There's reason to be optimistic that the right candidate, well-funded, can actually win, the right Democratic candidate, well-funded, can win there. So we need to be mindful of that, folks. And, by the way, since we're having the conversation about money and we're being unashamed about it, Christine Berry, mm-hmm. Let's also remind people that it doesn't matter if the candidate lives in your neighborhood. Sometimes you need to fund those people that live halfway around the country.
Mm-hmm. Eventually, you know, these Democratic candidates, we hope, are going to come together and work on the same issues that are important to all of us. And if it means sending money out of state to help with that, then do that. I've lately have been doing as much as I can to fund Michigan candidates because I just can't believe how crushed we were in 2010. So I'm hoping to make up some ground there. But you can donate to wherever you want. It's just unfortunately you can't go out and grassroots campaign for somebody who's too far away usually, but.
No, and that's true.
There are ways to support them,
Yes, there are. And I just wanted, that's why I'm saying if it's in mid-Michigan or upper, the upper, lower, wherever it is, if you really feel strongly about helping in a certain area, again, $3 makes a difference. I can't impress because I'm a former candidate. Trust me, any donation matters.
Absolutely. Since we're talking about it, Tony, let me take it a little bit further and say, if you know for sure there's absolutely no hope that your House district is going to go to a Democrat, you know that a Republican is going to take it just because that's how the district is, then please, please send a contribution to someone who has a chance and do what you can for that person. Just pick whoever you want to send to, whoever you can support. Doing doors for them or whatever and help them out. Because there's no reason for you to sit out election just because your election may have been decided already.
All right, Christine Berry is back with us. This is our blog roll segment. We do have to take a quick break. A couple more state districts to take a look at when we continue. If you want to cheat, go to bloggingformichigan.com and you'll find it all there. Let's take a quick break and we'll be back with Christine and wrap it up on the other side of this. This is First Shift. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
You know why I knew this rescue would succeed? It was because I believed in you. I placed my bet on the American worker. And I'll make that bet any day of the week.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage.
Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Attention passionate Democrats all over Michigan.
The Michigan Democratic Party is proud to announce their annual fundraiser, the Jeff Jack Dinner.
Will be held this year on Saturday, April 28th.
And your attendance is required. They are thrilled to welcome to Michigan Robert Gibbs, senior advisor to Obama for America and a true friend of Michigan, as the former press secretary for our own Senator, Debbie Stabenow, as well as to President Obama. In addition to an amazing dinner at Cobo Center, this year marks the inaugural after party that is a can't-miss event.
And is included in the price of your dinner ticket.
Whether you have attended in the past or this is your first time, the Jeff Jack Dinner is one of the most exciting events for Democrats, and it is literally a must attend for those of us who care about the Michigan Democratic Party. Just go to MichiganDems.com/JeffJack to purchase your tickets now.
That's MichiganDems.com/JeffJack.
And reserve your spot to one of the most exciting political nights of the year. We'll look forward to seeing you there.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour, Christine Berry is with us in our blog roll segment for this Monday morning. A couple more House districts to take a look at in the red to blue district project that she has going on with our help. Christine, let's take a look at the 94th. The 94th. Where is that at and who do we have running there?
Yep, that's Saginaw County district. So it's got Chesaning, St. Charles, Frankenmuth, Birch Run, that area there. And that is another one that's going to be a hot seat. Ken Horn terms out there. So I'm sure it's going to be a targeted and hotly contested seat. There are three Republican candidates declared so far, but the only Democratic candidate I know of is Judith Lincoln, and I don't know much about her. She was a county commissioner, I believe, but and she's an attorney, but I really don't know much about her as a candidate. But she's the only one that I could find who's declared. So that's going to be a tough seat for us to take, but it can be done. And I think it, especially because this year is kind of a perfect storm with, you know, the war on women and the right-wing attacks on labor and President Obama, I think that it can be done there, but we need to get out there and start working and definitely fund that candidate, because the Republicans are just going to crush that area with media, I'm sure of it.
Well, Christine, so, let's also remind the audience that when you have a seat like this where you have a primary with three Republican candidates, that means you have an area where three Republicans are having to spend money on each other and not on the Democrat.
And I love that. You know, I hope they get a couple more Republican candidates in there. But, you know, I sure do wish I saw a little bit more about our Democratic candidates. I mean, Judith Lincoln has declared, she announced, but I can't find any more information on her. And I don't know if that's part of a strategy that I'm not familiar with, or if, you know, if she's just a part-time candidate right now, which I guess is, you know, the unfortunate reality for so many people who have to work and and run for office at the same time.
Yeah, well, there is some truth to that. Let's, just for the sake of time, move on to our last district today anyway, and that's the 97th again. Where's that at, and who are we looking at?
This is a huge huge district geographically. It spans four counties, Clare, Gladwin, Aranac, and Osceola, part of Osceola. And it has an incumbent defending the seat. This is Joel Johnson. I don't think the Republicans are going to pay much attention to this seat unless it gets competitive. But it is an area that can be a swing district for us, and I do think we can take it. But unfortunately, we don't have any Democratic candidates there that I know of.
Yeah, and there are no candidates, as you point out in the blog piece. There are none, zero. So again,
none that I could find. Now, there might be people talking about it, and they have decided for whatever reason not to file yet or announce, but not that I'm aware of.
Well, I want to go back to where we began this discussion, which is we cannot, and listen, I didn't. You live where you live, and so you've got to run where you live, especially for a state seat. With that said, folks, if you know people in these areas that would be great candidates, and I gave a keynote address yesterday morning, and I told people it's no longer enough to vote. We need to also start recruiting good neighbors and good friends and good family members that would make good state lawmakers. We need to recruit those folks. That's part of our responsibility as we engage in this silly thing we call democracy.
You know, people tend to campaign, or they tend to get really active during campaign season, but we should be campaigning and recruiting all year round. And I know it gets tiresome for our friends who aren't wonks and, you know, into politics, but it's important stuff. And listen, just one more thing. I think the House right now is 63 Republicans and 47 Democrats. That's what I think we're at. We've talked about, on your show, Tony, we've talked about 11 House seats. If we just flip those 11, we're back. I mean, obviously defending the seats we have, but we just put those 11. We've got the House.
Right. Oh, and it's something that's very doable, but we have to do it.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Christine, it's great to have you back. It's just great to have you back, and I just want to let you know it's great to have you back.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's great to be back.
Well, good. We'll look forward to visiting with you in a couple weeks. In the meantime, as we have scheduled anyway, Chris Savage will be with us next week. Christine Berry, again, you'll find her online at bloggingformichigan.com, also at christineberry.com. That's B-A-R-R-Y. We'll look forward to visiting with you again soon, Christine. Have a great day.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Great segment. Great blog roll segment. And again, love Chris Savage, but it's good to have Christine back. Gives us our male-female balance again. The yin and the yang. We're good. We are good to go. So looking forward to that. Somebody had sent me, and again, I understand you. Sometimes you folks are busy in the morning. Jeff Jack. Jeff Jack. What is Jeff Jack? They asked. Jeff Jack is the Jefferson Jackson Day Dinner, which is this Saturday. The 28th of April at Cobo Center. It is the State Democratic Party's major fundraiser for the year. That's what it is. And if you want to go, you can buy tickets by going to the website at MichiganDems.com. You can call the Michigan Democratic Party. I don't have the number in front of me right now, but it doesn't matter. It's on the website. Or apparently you can still buy tickets at the door. Not going to tell you not to do that. Because Mark Brewer wouldn't have said it unless he knew that it was okay to say it. But I would buy them in advance just to be a little safe, is all I'm saying. And I'm looking forward to going. Again, I'm going to be speaking at an event right before that for the Young Democrats. Their Labor Caucus has invited me to speak, and so I'm looking forward to doing that. And we'll do that. And again, great to have Christine back. She was just wonderful. Very quickly, don't forget, we also have the Michigan Summit coming up, and that's at themichigansummit.org, themichigansummit.org. So I want to remind you about that. Don't forget to make your plans to attend on May 12th. May 12th at the Kellogg Center in East Lansing. I will, of course, be there. Also want to remind you, as we talked the other day with Karen Teagarden from Unite Women, that if you go to unitewomen.org, you're going to see a bunch of good stuff, including a link to their Facebook page, which will give you all the information on their event this upcoming Saturday, again, the 28th, at Roosevelt Park in Detroit, also at the state capitol. And again, I want to remind you that Planned Parenthood has a major luncheon tomorrow, Carol Leifer is the keynote speaker.
for this fundraiser. And it's the 18th annual Planned Parenthood Mid and South Michigan Tribute Luncheon. So if you want to get involved on that, and we're going to be talking to Lori Lamran, the president of that chapter, tomorrow on the show, just go to PlannedParenthoodDetroit.org, PlannedParenthoodDetroit.org, and you'll get all the information you could possibly need. And I guess the other announcements are going to have to wait till tomorrow because I'm just out of time for today. Jeff, hope you feel better, buddy. Just get well. Anthony, thanks for everything. Jeff, thanks for everything as well. Anyway, that'll do it for us for today. Audience, as an audience, you guys are amazing. I so appreciate you again. Off the air, Tony at thetonyshow.org. If you'd like to call me in my office, the number to my office is on the website, thetonyshow.org. Just go there and check it out. In the meantime, and as always, I ask that you be well.
I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. Hey, hey. Well, I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. Hey, hey. Said I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. And if I share with you my story, would you share your dollar with me?
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Got some good news on your commute. They just cleared that accident on 75 southbound just after M59, but you still got stop-and-go traffic from Lapeer Road. And you also got some slow traffic on 275 southbound between 6 Mile and the M1496 exit due to construction. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 55 degrees and partly cloudy with high winds. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 37 degrees. Tomorrow is going to be 59 degrees and partly cloudy. And it's currently 40 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
This is Detroit Progressive Talk.